Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, just unbelievable betrayal. We knew it was coming, but it's so intense. It's so over the top. It's so hardcore. It's just amazingly blatant. It's what the New World Order's doing everywhere. They're just over the top on every issue. It's now coming out that, of course, they're not really shutting down the concentration camp, the torture centers. The United States, Obama, threatened England and their courts not to bring out secret information about British and U.S. forces torturing people viciously, or they would cut off intelligence to them. And so we now have Obama protecting the torturers. Even the New York Times and the London Telegraph and AP admit that there are no caps on CEO bonuses or salaries. It's all a stinking lie. Now, you can debate all day whether or not the government should be in the business of capping salaries. But the whole thing is a diversion and a distraction, and it's a blatant lie. All the major banks and brokerage firms, all the heavy hitters, the Federal Reserve shareholders, the real global banks, not your little Main Street bank, they are exempt. And the media keeps talking about billions stolen. It's trillions stolen. And they're secretive about where it all went. So he's completely lied about that. But he's running nothing. You can't even blame Obama. Remember, he's a puppet. I'm not going to be distracted and diverted by the paper cutout. I'm going to look past him to the puppeteer who is pulling the strings. So we'll go over that. Al Gore got taped talking to a group of 12-year-old middle schoolers, 7th and 8th graders, 11 and 12 years old, saying how their parents are basically stupid and the state knows best. And I want to go over this because Glenn Beck played a clip of it. I want to play the clip today and give you some more intense background on all of this. Glenn Beck had talked about this being like Nazi Germany. He got criticized. This is exactly what they did in Nazi Germany. But side issue, I've really gone after Glenn Beck in the past because he said Ron Paul people were dangerous. He said the military should be used against us. He made fun of the New World Order. Now suddenly he's totally flipped, and it's like Alex Jones has a Fox News TV show. But I guarantee you, in fact, I've already seen this, he's still mixing in New World Order propaganda. The establishment knows that anti-New World Order, anti-globalist sentiment is the majority. It's now a large portion. It's the largest minority because everything's broken into minorities. You've got a minority of Obama idiots, an Obama of Rush Limbaugh mainline conservatives. But the largest sector, the largest piece, no doubt from all the statistics and numbers and data we have, is people now know about world government. They now know about the Illuminati, the New World Order. And so Glenn Beck is going to get everybody trusting him, and then he's going to betray. Bill O'Reilly, 8, 9, 10 years ago, would have people on like Tony Brown talking about the New World Order, the Illuminati, the Bilderberg Group, how Kennedy was assassinated, and Frank Sturgis and E. Howard Hunt. What is he like today? Total establishment saying don't question the government in wartime, do whatever they say. You watch. You'll see a flip-flop within 2 years from Glenn Beck because it's owned by News Corp. News Corp in the Wall Street Journal is calling for world government, North American Union. It's pushing that agenda. Back when we had a chance to really stop it by electing Ron Paul, the mainstream media came in with Beck and really zapped Ron Paul. And so now that they think it's too late for us to stop them, they still want to pose like they're with the people. So sophisticated dance going on there, but I don't want to divert off into Glenn Beck. I'm going to get Glenn Beck on the show. And, you know, Glenn Beck may have just caved into the pressure. I mean, I know he got hundreds of thousands of phone calls and emails when he attacked Ron Paul and said 9/11 truthers were terrorists and the rest of it. So, hey, you know, if he's coming around, fine, but there's one chance out of about 100 that that's the case. But, hey, hope springs eternal. Regardless, we march on with the real hardcore info, beyond the cutting edge, straight ahead, all of Obama's betrayals, new gun control bills, and a bunch of big guests. Stay with us. We'll tell you all about it when we get back. PrisonPlanet.com.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
On the guest front, last week, Professor Griff, Public Enemy, contacted us and said he wanted to come on, but that he had to unexpectedly go out of town this week. Said he wanted to come on Thursday, if not Thursday, Friday, and that he'd call us Thursday morning. He has not done that yet, so he may be popping in today, if not tomorrow. Regardless, we're getting him on the show. And next time KRS-One is back in Texas, and that's going to be later this month, we're going to try to get him in studio as well to chime in on Barack Obama, the New World Order, and a whole lot more. Also on the guest front today, coming up in 51 minutes, we have Dr. Stan Monteef joining us to break down the whole eugenics agenda in the New World Order and give us his take on Obama. Then Jason Burmes is going to be simulcasting with us via video link on prisonplanet.tv today. And then Aaron Zellman of Jews, the Preservation of Firearms Ownership will be coming on the show later to talk about the massive armada of gun confiscation, gun banning, psychological testing, national registration, national licensing, fiat banning anyone they put on the terror watch list. If they're terrorists, go arrest them. No, this is a blacklist, a secret list, a Kafka-esque 1984 in-your-face Big Brother system. So we'll talk about that with Aaron Zellman. And we're leaving the fourth hour open in case Professor Griff ends up calling us. But he said he's on planes and traveling and doing a bunch of gigs. And we know how that is with folks. So regardless, that is coming up. He is orbiting into our little corner of the media universe. And we'll be passing by the prison planet soon enough. Side issue here. A couple days ago, I did a breakdown of TV ads, one from the Super Bowl. Was that Tuesday or Monday, Jaron? What day did I show the – it was Tuesday. I showed the ads where they're talking about how wonderful high fructose corn syrup is, and you're an idiot if it doesn't think you're – if you don't think it's good for you and there's nothing bad in it. And they say, what's your facts? So the guy that thinks it's bad and he can't talk, he's stupid, and – you know, they ask some woman why she doesn't like it, and she can't talk and stutters and is stupid. And then I held up documents where – in mainstream news articles where they admit that half of high fructose corn syrup products have high levels of mercury alone in them. You know, there's your facts and all the diabetes information and how it increases hunger, doesn't fill you up. And I also did an analysis of a Super Bowl ad with Alec Baldwin where they talk about TV destroying your brain, and then they say space aliens are doing it. That way, if you talk about watching a lot of TV destroying your brain, giving you Alzheimer's and brain damage by keeping you in a lower state of consciousness, I don't mean that as in a new age way. I mean literal brain waves are lower. That now, oh, you think the space aliens did it. It makes a joke out of it. And I punched up on screen the BBC and other publications with studies admitting that watching lots of television does literally brain damage you. It brain damages you. Brain damages you. Video games are even worse. Am I attacking video games? I'm just stating the facts here. I've played my fair share years ago, decades ago. And then I went through some other clips. That was such an important part of that prisonplanet.tv broadcast. And I never, when we simulcast with the radio, and I never, something I think that'll be huge on the web, people rip it from prisonplanet.tv and post it everywhere, that's never what's huge. It's always something else that was just some little side issue that gets, hundreds of thousands and then millions of views. I want that video to be grabbed off prisonplanet.tv and posted all over, so please help us out with that, folks. We don't have the personnel to get it done ourselves. So I think that's important information for people to see, because I was talking to somebody out on my front lawn this morning, and they were going, hey, have you seen these high fructose corn syrup ads, Alex? Is that stuff bad for you? Because if they're running ads saying it's good for you, it must be bad. And I was telling my neighbor, no, you're dead on target, and I just covered that. See, my neighbor isn't into all this stuff, but they're somewhat familiar with what I do. And you know, when I first moved in where I lived, the neighbor was kind of giggling at me when they saw me. Now they're not giggling anymore. And I see that as an important beta test or microcosm of the wider world and what's happening. So I do go through those television ads, and I'm going to start doing that more and more. Have we set up Joey's email yet? Joey at Infowars.com. And I guess we need to set up, we have two Robs here now. We need to set up the new Rob, the second producer. We need to set up an email for him. Maybe Rob and his initial at Infowars.com. We'll get that done good because I'm going to start programming this show a little bit more heavily because right now it's just I go wild, do whatever I want. The time gets away from me. And by programming, I mean planning out segments a little more. We'll still have some free-for-all because there's so much I need to get to. And every day I want you to email us tips and then links because most commercials end up getting posted on the web to a commercial you think's interesting and you think has propaganda in it, and then I will watch the commercial. I will pick from the commercials you send us. We will play it here on air and then break it down. Or you can send us clips of TV shows with anti-family, anti-self-defense messages, anti-sovereignty messages. They're everywhere. We can't keep track of it. Number one, I don't have time to watch TV. Number two, it's torture for me to watch television because the propaganda is so insulting and so frustrating. It makes me feel so desperate to beat these people. It's just so overt with the enemy leering in our face. And I know there's all these billions of people just totally unconscious to the fact they're being assaulted with programming and you know all of this. So you can aggregate all that, boil it down, and be part of the show. So send those to Joey. It's Joey V at Infowars.com, isn't it? Pardon me, David? It is Joey V? They both work. Okay. There we go. I'm so busy here when I get in here in the morning and that we literally do radio show planning here on the air, but that's good. It's total transparency is what we're all about. So help us out with that because I watched a few hours of TV this weekend, which I hardly ever do, and just every commercial was propaganda. Every newscast was brainwashing. Everything was deception. It is a tissue of lies and spin, or they'll take the truth and then stack lies on it. It's just amazing. So Dr. Stan Monteith, Jason Burmes, Aaron Zellman joining us, and who knows if Professor Griff will be popping in. All right, let's go ahead and get into the news right now. We are 2.5 weeks into the swearing-in, the coronation of Barack Obama, the most fully financed by Wall Street and the globalist presidential candidate ever seen. You thought George Bush Sr. and Bill Clinton and Bush Sr. were bad? Well, here comes Obama with the media saying he's a rock star savior, that he is going to basically save the earth. And what has he done? Let's recap briefly some of the things he's done. He claimed he's closing Guantanamo, but if you read the executive order, it says they will look in the next year at closing Guantanamo and closing other camps, but we'll keep other secret camps, the secret camps, the real camps, around the world open, and we'll continue the practice of rendition, what the LA Times called abduction. That, quote, harsh interrogation will continue under the Army Field Manual, which is terrorism. They just relabel torture as harsh interrogation. He has swore he would end NAFTA and GATT. He's now saying he's all for it, and that he never said that. That NAFTA and GATT have been great for America, and he wants to expand the SPP, North American Union. He is now talking about even backing off a 16-month timetable when he'd originally talked about a 6-month pullout. Now they're debating whether they should have a 16-month pullout, which will just be a drawdown, a build down, another double think word. It's a build down. Everything they say is doublespeak. And he's shipped at least 30,000 more Marines, talking about tens of thousands more Army into Afghanistan and Pakistan. He's discussing large airstrikes. They've already launched a bunch in Pakistan. He promised to not appoint any lobbyists or people that have gotten lobbying funds. Basically, his entire cabinet and everybody around him have gotten massive ones. Leon Panetta, you know, millions and millions of dollars, $700,000 alone from lobbyists while he was out of government. Now he's going to be the director of the CIA. George Mitchell on child trafficking cases, got money from the Saudis. The new deputy secretary of defense, just massive cash. Well, he was the number two at Raytheon, the defense contractor. I mean, on and on and on. Just pure lies. But I'll never get to the new lies if I cover the old. After Obama praises torture ruling, civil liberties groups appalled. This is not a raw story. The big liberal website having to criticize him, the American Civil Liberties Union, which has generally been harshly critical of President George Bush and praiseworthy of Obama, has fired a torpedo across Obama bow after the, and that's only happening because their members who aren't controlled, the leaders are by the globalists, clearly, are screaming bloody murder. Good. Force all these fake liberal groups to speak up. After the British High Court ruled that evidence of British residents' rendition and harsh interrogation, that they brutally tortured him for months, that the Pentagon's Guantanamo Bay prison must remain secret because of threats made by the Bush administration to halt intelligence sharing, the Obama administration offered a terse statement seemingly expressing support for President Bush's statement to the BBC. The United States thanks the UK government for its continued commitment to protect sensitive national security information and prefers a long-standing intelligence-sharing relationship that enables both countries to protect their citizens. And they went on. So there you go. Now, that's only the beginning. I'll get into more of this when we get back. And then Obama execs orders have loopholes. Of course, only your little bank is going to have caps. If you like to gamble, I tell you I'm your man. You win some, lose some, it's all the same to me. Going on the high road. After Obama praises torture, civil liberties group appalled. Hope is flickering, Romero of the ACLU said in a statement. The Obama administration's position is not change, it is more of the same. This represents a complete turnaround and undermining of the restoration of the rule of law. The American administration shouldn't be complicit in hiding the abuses of its predecessors. Hey, get this straight, ACLU. They are continuing the abuses of the predecessor, George W. Bush. Now we meet the new boss, same as the old boss. The United States thanks the UK government for its continued commitment to protect sensitive national security information and preserve the long-standing intelligence-sharing relationship that enables both countries to protect their citizens. That's what the White House State Department spokesperson said. So 2 days ago, on Tuesday, a British high court said this person has been tortured, secretly arrested, secretly held in two torture camps before flown to Guantanamo. British torturers oversaw the U.S. and other third-party torturers. This is outrageous, and we have the government documents. And the response was by the White House was to internally threaten the British government that they would stop sharing intelligence with them if they allowed this information to come out. The fact that it was sanctioned and ordered, not a few rogues in there getting rough. You know the guys just got a little overblown there. Now, this was scientifically applied torture to create patsies and people to confess to things they didn't do. We'll get more into that later. That's been proven. And then 10 Downing Street came out. The Prime Minister came out. The spokesman for 10 Downing Street came out and said, this is not true. They've not threatened us. It's not true. But they didn't check with each other in the lying because right at that time, Obama issued a statement saying, yes, we'll jerk intelligence on you. Oh, man. Just incredible. And I shouldn't laugh about it all. It's just completely sick. And notice, right on time as all of this is happening, two of the people held at Guantanamo for years pop up in classic Islamic dress making mean faces in classic CENTCOM propaganda. Remember, the former head of Black Ops at the Pentagon, former CIA Black Ops commander before that, number two beneath Rumsfeld, is the head of the Intel Center that's been caught uploading the videos of Al-Qaeda tapes. Adam Gadon, the ADL head, grandson of the rest of them. I mean, give me a brother. The grandson of the ADL who used to get put in jail for beating up Muslims outside mosque. He hates them so much. Pops up as the number three in Al-Qaeda. And then they look at the Al-Qaeda watermark on the video. And it's in the same video layer as the Intel Center logo. This is so ridiculous. If it wasn't so hardcore, vicious, and evil. And right on time, they insert their operatives into the camps to put them in with the other prisoners, to spy on them, to report on them. And then they take them back out and put them out with, quote, Islamic radical cred on the streets of the world to go out and form new Al-Qaeda groups with patsies under them to carry out attacks. Over and over again, you'll hear about somebody in custody for 2-3 years in the headlines. I could pull these up right now. We've covered them. You can say, Al-Qaeda captive was informant or was agent. That's a good headline for you to pull up. It's happened many times. It'll just be a blurb in the main press, but mainly foreign press, French or German or Dutch or Russian or British. It's sometimes in the U.S. and it'll say, oh, yeah, they secretly held him in a camp for 3 years because if they wouldn't have done that, radical Muslims would have put a fatwa out on him and would have killed him because he was an infiltrator. But they're always the leaders of the groups. Every time you hear about some case in Ohio or Michigan or Toronto, Canada, it'll be an operative and they'll say, police just busted a group of radical Muslims planning to blow something up with ammonium nitrate. And then 3 or 4 months later, when the trial starts, it always falls apart and they basically mistrial it or they plea bargain people out for nothing, the teenagers, the street kids. Miami, it was the same case, that the feds, either agents or their informants, will go start the group. I mean, they don't just go infiltrate a group. They go start one, find idiots, unexperienced morons, lead them, form it, try to get them to blow something up. They're always too inept to do it, so they just bust them with materials or with manuals. And then they'll even put the informant in jail a while to kind of cover that up, that the fact that they were fed, but then later release them, and they get multi-million-dollar cash payments. And so these guys are up on TV right now. It's just such an insult to everyone's intelligence. All right, when we get back. Oh, Obama's going to put a cap on the rich people's money. If you believe that, I got a bridge I want to sell you. We are continuing with the off-the-chart betrayals of all the well-meaning, Bush-hating, New World Order-hating population that finally woke up to government tyranny, and there was the establishment with a quick bait-and-switch scam, a monkey wrench to throw in to the true revolution that is brewing in this nation. But it's not going to work because the elite won't even give an inch on any of their policies, and it's coming out fast, day by day, that Barack Obama makes Bill Clinton look raw when it comes to slickness and deceit. Bill Clinton does not deserve the title of Slick Willie when we're talking about him in comparison to Barack Obama. He is slick, but it doesn't matter. The people don't trust government now like never before. They're getting back their good instincts, their common sense approach, and his minions are finding out fast. My only problem trying to make this Obama film is I keep updating it with the new betrayals that just race out. We're going to be done with it around March 6th, have it mastered March 7th. It'll go to the factory March 8th. And by March 14th, we will have them. We're going to start pre-orders here in a few weeks. And I'm dedicated to this. I'm dedicated to making the Obama deception, which is just a devastating torpedo to their fraud and their lies. TheObamaDeception.net is the website. By the way, before I get back into all these betrayals, ladies and gentlemen, do not forget that we are trying to expand as the New World Order moves forward, expanding its operations against humanity, because there are fertile fields out there in the minds of men and women who want to hear the truth now. And so we're intensifying everything we're doing here, and we need your support more than ever. But that itself is a side issue compared to the fact that the films, the books, the videos we carry, like Codex Magica and Mysterious Monuments by Tex Mars, Eye of the Phoenix just came out last week. We have it discounted out of the gates at InfoWars.com, part three in the series, America's Secret Beginnings. Just go check out Eye of the Phoenix at InfoWars.com, Secrets of the Dollar Bill. You can also get In-Game Blueprint for Global Enslavement, Terror Storm, Truth Rising, Fabled Enemies, all 21 of my films, Loose Change Final Cut that I produced. They're all there available at InfoWars.com or by calling 888-253-3139. That's 888-253-3139. You can also write to me at 3001 South Lamar, Suite 100, Austin, Texas, 78704. And you can see all my films in super high quality at PrisonPlanet.tv. By the way, and the live TV transmission we do for at least 2 hours every day, some days 3 or 4 hours, the whole radio show is simulcast in the visual realm as well. I do the whole four-hour show, but focusing on cameras, directing it myself, doing 3 or 4 hours is just completely exhausting on top of 4 hours of radio. So we're going to probably keep it down to about 2 hours most days unless the guests are just too big. But on the subject of PrisonPlanet.tv, we had a Christmas special. We extended into a New Year's special to get 5+ months free. And I've just been so busy, I forgot to have Paul Watson take the special down. And so that special will run until next Monday. Next Monday. And then next Tuesday, it will go back to, if you get a yearly membership, you know, you got to pay for all 12 months. Still a great deal. Right now, if you want 5.3s, what the discount comes out to, 5.3 months free, get yourself a yearly membership at PrisonPlanet.tv or get a $5.95 trial membership. The live TV show transmitted, the archives of it, all of our best interviews in the highest quality, a great activist tool to burn them to disk and get them out to folks, PrisonPlanet.tv. Okay. So, recapping, Obama has lied and appointed a bunch of Defense Department, banking, and other lobbyists directly into cabinet and sub-cabinet positions. He's lied and gone back on saying he'd go after NAFTA and GATT. He's saying he now supports it and loves it. He has lied on, he said he wasn't going to push for more gun control. They're introduced massive bills, rampaging forward, the most devastating victim disarmament, Second Amendment annihilating bills ever seen. Just unbelievable. He has lied about just countless things, beefing up the troops in the Middle East and Central Asia, now saying they may not go ahead and even withdraw any of them in the 16-month timetable, which they expanded from 6 months. And then they'll debate whether, you know, in 16 months, whether it should be another 16 months. The same scam, same game, same things, all of it. And then he comes out in support of secret arrest, secret detention, rendition. And then when courts are about to bring forward evidence of U.S. and British organized, ordered torture, which is in all the memos, I mean, big surprise, they threaten Britain to block the release of it. And then people spin it in the media yesterday and say, Obama didn't do that. And then he reaffirms, yes, we did make that threat. So you have that. And there's many other lies. But the most over-the-top one so far has been in the last few weeks, where every day he goes out and gives a speech and says, this is outrageous. This is ridiculous that we've got hundreds of millions of dollars in bonuses and things to executives and increases in pay while millions of people are losing their jobs. Meanwhile, he's bought and paid for by these people. Geithner, his new Treasury Secretary, is one of the main architects of changing the rules in the 90s with Clinton so they could do all of this, that Bush, of course, continued as a cheerleader, nonpartisan theft, group of rogues posing like carnival barkers will act like they're fighting with each other. You know, don't go to his ride, go to my ride, and they'll feel like he's your friend and go on that ride, or good cop, bad cop. So he's up there every day saying, I can't believe this bailout. This is horrible. This bailout didn't work because you stole all the money. Hundreds of millions of dollars. It's really not billions. It's trillions. billions and billions and billions per brokerage firm and bank in bonuses and in pay raises to the executives as they let go all the retail banker workers because that's not needed anymore. They're imploding the economy. It's just all a vertical integrated conduit, like a giant mosquito sucking it dry or a tick sucking something dry. It's like a 200-pound tick sucking a 100-pound country dry. And then he comes out yesterday and introduces a new idea. He says, we'll have salary caps throughout industry, not just banking, but the car industry and anything else in the economy that's in trouble. Setting the precedent, this is double-edged, setting the precedent for the federal government to have a managed, completely controlled economy run by the central banks, the Wall Street banks that have hijacked Washington, but it's being sold as if it's an anti-Wall Street corruption move. Just like Wall Street put out ads and editorials attacking the Federal Reserve Act of 1913 for 3 years before its passage, with J.P. Morgan and others and the Rockefellers saying, we don't want this banking act. We do not want the Federal Reserve. It's bad. No! And the public, some of them got fooled and went, well, then I'm for it. I'm for the Federal Reserve Act. That'll teach those nasty bankers and stop any depressions or stop any CEO pay. There's no discussion of the bank shareholders, the private secret shareholders who are making the real profits here. It's all about the little puppets they put in. So there's lies within lies within lies within lies within lies on top of lies, stacked on top of lies with still more frauds and spin and corruption and doublethink added to it. So that's going on, and then he comes, so imagine, taking over the economy. That's what they say the new global central bank, that they call the bad bank, will do. It will set interest rates globally. It will set currencies globally. It will, if a country doesn't go along with it, they'll put sanctions on them. They won't allow their money to transfer globally. This is the new world order, a world government run for, by, and of the banks. But the select interbanks snatching up the other smaller financial institutions, the insurance companies, Main Street banks, state banks, regional banks, real banks, credit unions. But going after industry, too. Bankrupting everything, having the government come in with unlimited fiat currency and say, we'll buy a share in you, but now you're under our executive control. But those federal executives themselves take orders from the private roundtable groups, the shadow government, which is now not shadow, coming out in the open in the Financial Times of London and Newsweek and Wall Street Journal and hundreds of other publications come out and say the only thing that will save the economy is a North American Union, is a merger with the EU, is a new global currency, regional currencies, and the bankers running everything. Exactly what David Rockefeller wrote about many times, about a world government run and determined by the private banks and not the population. In fact, I meant to read that quote, and I left it out in the car. During the break, I'll run out and get it and come in and read it in the next segment. One of many quotes. People can't ever believe these David Rockefeller quotes congratulating in 77 the Kremlin on their wonderful party in the communist system, congratulating Mao Zedong. I've actually gone out to the library and gotten the news articles it came from. These are real quotes. You're like, why would an international banker worth trillions of dollars leverage be for communism? Because it isn't communism. It's a bunch of thugs robbing the daylights out of you and killing the middle class. So Obama wants to take over the entire economy with the banks backing him up in the name of stopping the banks. Beautiful propaganda, beautiful deception. But it is in the news that there are, quote, loopholes of all the major brokerage houses and all the major banks. And so the federal regulators, they will selectively, with smaller banks, go in and squeeze them and take them over. Obama's executive orders have loopholes. This is out of the Washington Times. President Obama's first moves earned him triumphant headlines. Obama freezes pay, toughens ethics, and lobbying rules. And Obama sets new course. But some of the biggest accomplishments are twined with the word but. Lobbyists are banned, but exceptions can be and will be made. Orders are ending torture, and secret prisons contain loopholes and provisos. Call it the fine print, an exception, a waiver. But there have been caveats to many of Mr. Obama's first actions. The lobbying issue has drawn the most ire, especially since Mr. Obama spent so much time blasting lobbyists on Capitol Hill. Change we can believe in as long as we pay attention to the word change, complained Rachel Maddow, liberal talk show host for MSNBC. As long as we pay attention to the disappointing esoteric on the word change. And it goes on from there. Some old fudges and loopholes in Obama's new era of ethics. London Telegraph goes through it. Executive loopholes, Forbes. Whether the stimulus bill passes or not, President Obama can rest easy knowing he's created work for one creative group of workers, lawyers. Why? His plan to curb executive compensation at firms that receive taxpayer money, including $500,000 salary caps for top bosses, restrictions on stock compensation, and broader limits on golden parachutes, is a choke block with loopholes. And it goes on. Whenever the government lays down new rules for corporate America, firms will naturally determine the minimum effort for compliance. And it goes on. And there's Chase Manhattan, Citibank, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, and all the big, there's only five of them, private central banks that hold stock in the Federal Reserve. They're just completely exempt. I couldn't believe it, when, even when I've got a clip of Fox News admitting it right after Obama's speech, reading the text of the executive order. And it goes on to say there's much murkiness in the language. So it's all a bunch of legalese there. Here is a CNBC headline on it. Hunt on for loopholes in Obama executive pay. Banks find loopholes in pay limits. And then, of course, there's the psychological terrorism they're using to get it done. Gordon Brown saying there'll be a worldwide depression if you don't do this. If you don't give the banks unlimited power. Same thing with Obama. Obama warns of catastrophe without stimulus. On and on and on. And it's the same psychology. Cheney warns of new attacks unless Obama keeps rendition and torture and all the rest of it in place. Gordon Brown suggests world heading for depression if we don't act now. Thought we just acted, giving the banks unlimited power. But that's not enough. Now it's unlimited power over private industry. The big central banks, they're going to do whatever they want. You know, I found a quote in the New York Times last night doing research of David Rockefeller. And then I tracked it back to other quotes. He always is saying similar things that, oh, I don't pay $1 in income tax. You know, the reports of over 60% of Congress not paying income tax. Just not paying it. You hear about all these Obama appointments having to step down because of not paying taxes. The guy that taxes you for the private Federal Reserve, you know, didn't pay a bunch. Geithner. And I found these quotes where Rockefeller, David Rockefeller, is saying, I don't pay any income tax, not one dime, but I send a check out of the goodness of my heart. You know why he doesn't pay tax? Because they did another bait and switch. They owned the major newspapers in 1905. They ran giant headlines with the bankers yelling and screaming and the robber barons, the Carnegies, all of them, saying, we don't want this Sherman Antitrust Act. We don't like Teddy Roosevelt. We don't want this. No, no, don't throw me in the briar patch. But what does Briar Rabbit want? He lives in the briar patch. So when Farmer Brown grabs him and says, I'm going to take you to the chopping block and cut your head off and eat you for dinner, he says, oh, please, please do that, sir. Just don't throw me in the briar patch. Whatever you do, don't throw me in there. That's the last place I want to be. So they say, oh, whatever you do, the banks say, don't pass this bill taking us over. Oh, giving us power over everything. Oh, please don't. Oh, whatever you do, don't pass the Sherman Antitrust Act, which allowed the billions of dollars per family at that time, around 15 major families, the Mellons, the Carnegies, the Astors, the list goes on and on, the Bundys, the DuPonts, to put their money into tax-free foundations, true trust, and they called it an antitrust act to trick people. Now, the trust was saying they couldn't have giant monopolies that were trust, that the monopolies had to be broken up. All they did was create an illusion of choice, still owned by the same thing, into sub-trust. And when you read about it, the Rockefeller family pays zero tax. They own giant palaces, helicopters. They control whole universities. They control over half of the medical business in this country, cancer research. I mean, they just own it all. So what's happening is they are signing executive orders, if you read them, to take over any institution, company, business they want who takes federal money. It's our tax money. They're going to buy off the executives of every major industry to then hand over those industries to government control. The private banks then sit above government controlling it. That's why these guys are in control. They are incredibly cunning, sneaky, and deceptive. But if you're just aware that they're a bunch of lying bastards and whatever they're doing, you want to do the opposite. Whether it's gun control, open borders, taxes, I don't care. You know, but that's not as easy as it sounds. Because they don't just come out and say, we want these banker bailouts now. They mislabel it and call it a banker bailout when it's really a takeover. So you have to know what their real intent is and then say no to that, because it's always not in the people's best interest. By the way, we have a top volcanologist coming on who is very, very concerned about the giant volcano caldera, the opening of the volcano that is Yellowstone. Yellowstone Park is the mouth of an ancient volcano, a super volcano, as they're called. And they've had 400 earthquakes in the last, 6-8 months. Parts of it are rising a couple feet. Other parts are lowering. Suddenly, the giant magma chamber, the batholith under it, is getting under more and more pressure. Volcanoes all over the world are erupting. And we're not saying the volcano's going to explode, but they told people don't worry about Mount St. Helens in 1980. And Mount St. Helens is like my pinky compared to the Empire State Building. In known recorded history, civilization, the primitive civilizations that we know were before, somewhat primitive compared to now, no one really knows, but we know there were civilizations that were destroyed by volcanoes and meteors and other things before Egypt and before Babylon. We know large areas of Italy were destroyed by volcanoes just in the last 3,000 years, 2,500 years. These are tiny little babies compared to megavolcanoes. Most of the megavolcanoes are on the floor of the sea because 75% of the earth is covered with water. But right in the middle of the United States is a mega volcano. So that's coming up in the fourth hour today. Dr. Stan Monteith coming up in the next hour. Jason Burmes will be simulcasting with us at prisonplanet.tv. And Aaron Zellman is going to be on with us as well coming up today on the massive armada of gun banning that's coming. That is introduced with sponsors stacking up, racking up, moving very, very quickly. But to going back to Obama, we're not going to torture. We're just going to rename it harsh interrogation. We're going to leave Iraq. Maybe someday we'll look at it. We're not going to hire lobbyists. We're going to hire a lot of lobbyists. We're not going to let the CEOs rip everybody off with the bailout money. We're going to let them take over the entire economy. Meanwhile, they're talking about this Friday when the new jobless numbers come out. They always come out about a week after the last month. They're looking at over 500,000 people losing their jobs in the month of January. Now, remember last year we were looking at 200,000 jobs lost on average each month. Now it's going to be 500,000, and they say it's probably going to accelerate by the end of the year to 1 million jobs being lost per month. How does that sound? Meanwhile, they're building FEMA camps and announcing hardcore, battle-hardened, gun-confiscating troops from Iraq to be stationed in your neighborhood. We'll be right back after this quick 70-second break. I'm Alex Jones. The website is prisonplanet.tv.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Dr. Stan Monteith, 45 years in the battle against the New World Order, joining us in T-minus 7 minutes. Aaron Zellman, JPFO.org. Jason Burmes, simulcasting via video cam. We go live next hour at PrisonPlanet.tv, and an expert on the super volcanoes, a volcanologist as well, on what's happening in Yellowstone. He believes it may erupt. And then they're talking about large rocks, stones being thrown as far away as Texas, as far as Minnesota, and ash all around the planet that will darken the planet and make the temperature drop as much as 10 degrees. But let's go ahead and go to Ted Anderson for the next 4 minutes. Ted, look, I'm not going to belabor this with the listeners. You're at the very end of the goal you had when it was at the 939.40 level. I know some of the offers have actually had to go up. Gold is right back up at 920 today and racing up even higher. Folks are completely nutballs if they don't get into gold and silver now with any assets they've got. They need to diversify now. These fools are running into U.S. treasuries, holding paper, and they're signaling this $1 trillion stimulus. Now it's $1.2 trillion. It was $900 billion last week. They're talking about more trillions in a new banker takeover bill. Ted, tell us, again, you made these purchases a week and a half ago. You're almost out of the coins. What coins do you have left at that lower level? Because gold just continues to rise.
Okay, here's what I have. I mean, I'm really running short on British sovereigns now. I know I've been talking about those for a long time, and I'm not sure that I'll be able to carry those in the quantities I did like I did last year. But I do have some of them left at 265. The franc is the one that I can get to you quickly. That one is currently at 217. Now, Alex, last time I was on the air, I did a little calculation, and that's when gold was down around 900. Francs were at 228 at that time, and now gold has gone up over 925, and I have the same coins at 217. So a tremendous discount. It's $11 less than what I'd have to enter into the marketplace if gold was 900.
Explain to people, that's a fifth of an ounce coin. Explain to people what it even cost you with no markup to even be able to sell it.
Well,
how much that would cost you now?
I mean, that's the whole thing. I mean, right now entering into the marketplace, I'm paying almost $220 for the coin. So if for me to sell, I mean, I can't buy something at $220 and sell it for $220, you know, $217. I'll be out of business. I can't do that. I mean, Alex, the people that bought, I mean, we had a lot of people buy here when those francs were at $202 just a short while ago. And you got to realize that those people can turn around and sell them back to me right now and have a handsome profit, and they'd be absolute idiots to do it. Because right now, I mean, the unemployment figures at this time is frightening.
But Ted, other people are selling quarter ounce and fifth of an ounce for $250, $300. So, I mean, this is crazy. You have it for how much for the franc?
Well, right now it's at 217, and that's, Alex, that's the supply that I bought when gold was back. I'm just really happy I was able to buy it at 870 last time it dipped, and that supply is sitting there ready to go. When I'm out over with this 830 range, prices are going to jump. I can't help it.
Is this the last day?
Alex, it depends on how many people buy. I'm going to hold it until midnight, and I'll sell even what I don't have and take a little loss to fill the orders.
800-686-2237. Gold is at 925 and rising. Ted bought this at 830 and is offering it to you. Other places with premiums can't even sell you gold. You do not find deals better than this. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. Ted, we only got to the franc. I want to talk about the sovereign you're almost out of, about 2 minutes on the other side, then Dr. Stan Monteith. But I want you to tell folks the other offers you've got, where you're at on silver, and what's happening with supplies. 800-686-2237. Dr. Stan Monteith, straight ahead. Strap yourselves in.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Coming up, over 400 earthquakes in and around Yellowstone. A lot of top volcanologists are saying it may blow sky high. Last time it blew up, it devastated large parts of North America. It depends on which direction it explodes. They don't generally explode straight up and out. They blast one direction. I don't have to tell you that it'll kill millions of people if it does blow up. Remember, they said Mount St. Helens wasn't going to blow. Everything was fine. That's a tiny volcano, a little bitty baby compared to a super volcano. So we're going to be talking to a volcanologist coming up later in the transmission today. I want to go back to Ted Anderson while we're getting Dr. Stan Monteith on the horn. Ted, so you've got European francs, Swiss, French, and others that are running out, period, supply-wise. You bought them at the 830 level. Gold's now 925 and rising. This is the very end of them. You said you're almost out. You said you're really getting low on sovereigns. What's happening there?
Oh, the problem is I'm having trouble importing them. We're buying them out of Europe. And the supply coming into the United States is starting to choke up. In other words, there isn't a whole lot out there.
So almost everybody else has run out, but you've been there on top because you've got the supply 30 years in the business. You're saying you're even having trouble.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we've sold millions of these things last year, Alex, and everybody that owns them from last year can sell them for a nice fat profit. And it'd be great if they would because I need supply, but they'd be idiots for doing it. Right now, I mean, I've been shopping around. Most of my competitors already have these things priced in the $300 range. I'm usually a little less than they are right now if I had them. I suppose I'd be somewhere around 281 if I'm buying in the marketplace. But the biggest problem is, I mean, I called one wholesaler and they had them in BU condition. Well, that's what they've been getting me at the regular cost, and now they want to have about a $20 premium per coin.
Let's be clear. These are in collector mint condition, and you've been selling them at below spot.
Yeah, well, in many cases I have been because spot has run up so darn much. The thing about it is that the coin is from the 1800s, and everybody knows that it's a good idea to be buying the older coins because it gives a better argument for gold confiscation. And with this administration, and the last one too. I mean, nobody can trust it. There's so many.
And folks, there's no 100% in life. They can steal your pension funds. They are. They can steal your bank accounts. They're getting ready to. Yes, they can try to come get your gold. I mean, my grandmother remembers her parents in Dallas. They owned a car dealership. That was actually my grandfather's dad on the car dealership. But the point is they remember it, too. My mother's father's dad on a Chevy dealership, the first in Dallas. But the point is that they remember having to turn the gold in, but they kind of wink-wink didn't do it. This is the last line of defense, and we're not even saying that's safe. It's the safest thing there is, 800-686-2237.
Yeah, Alex, there's no question about it right now. I mean, if you're going to stay in the paper markets right now, you're going to be toast. I mean, we are entering into a situation that will be very, very similar to the Depression of the 1930s or even way worse than that. And companies that you think you could rely on are going to be gone. I mean, Chrysler Corporation right now is about ready to fall apart completely, like be gone. You know, and who had ever thought something that big would fail? And of course, the big banks that got all the bailout money. That's what Barack is pushing on, or Obama. I'm sorry, is pushing on so hard. It just right now, there's just too many problems. And every time I get a chance, if there's a dip in the marketplace, I'm buying. And as much quantity as I can get. The problem is I never can get enough.
And, all right, so almost everybody else has run out. You're now getting close to that point. Other coins you've got to offer.
Well, you asked me about silver, and one of the few things that I have a big supply on right now that I can deliver without any problems is mercury dimes. I really took a position on with those things when the gold was down there at about 700, just about 720, right in that range. The silver market was closer to 9, be trading between 9 and 10. And so now we're up here around 12, and I still have those dimes, and I just want to get those in the hands of the people. I mean, the main thing is you can buy it in small quantities. The person that doesn't have a whole lot of money to get into
I've bought dimes and half dollars. They're gorgeous little coins, a 999 silver. Folks, give them a call, 800-686-2237, 800-686-2237. But to be clear, you're saying you've just got francs at the old level. Are you saying you're out of sovereigns?
No, I'm not out of them yet. I've got a small supply left, but I'm telling you what it's like trying to buy it right now.
800-686-2237, and that deal will hold till midnight Central Standard?
Yeah, we'll hold it right through the night tonight.
All right, thank you, Ted.
Yep.
Absolutely, folks. we're just so blessed to be in this position to have the owner of this network be a major gold and silver broker, and to be internationally known, and to be one of the few guys that can even get them, and then he's selling it lower than anybody else I've ever heard of. Believe me, I've looked around. 800-686-2237. All right, for the rest of the hour, we're joined by Dr. Stan Monteith, 40-plus years in the fight against the New World Order, syndicated broadcaster. He is also a talk show host right here on the GCN Radio Network, and I wanted to get him on about all of Barack Obama's betrayals and his lies, and the fact that the media is getting behind Barack Obama like he is God himself, putting all their power behind him. How dangerous is this historically when governments and elites and media get behind somebody and try to build him up as a messianic savior complex? And with all of his decades of experience and research, he's also an author and filmmaker, where he sees this going. Dr. Stan Monteith, great to have you here with us.
Well, it's good to be with you again, Alex. And we are really in trouble here in the United States, and most people will find it very difficult to believe that the government, or I should say the invisible government, has actually precipitated this whole financial crisis and wants to use it to impoverish our people and destroy the infrastructure of our nation, and then, of course, as you well know, merge us into the world government. But the question is, how did they do it? And, of course, nobody's telling the American people the techniques that they used. It's really incredible as you go back and study it, and they knew exactly what they were doing. And there's only, if you go into the trial after commission, there are only 87 American citizens in the northern group of the trial after commission, and yet right now there are 11 of them in key positions in President Obama's regime, and they are the people who are advising him on finance, on foreign policy, in the military. In fact, the chief of intelligence of the whole country comes from the trial after commission, Admiral Blair. The national security advisor, James Jones, General Jones, comes from the trial after commission. The deputy national security advisor, Thomas Donilon, comes from the trial after commission. Susan Rice, the ambassador of the United Nations, comes from the trial after commission. Our new secretary of the treasury, who is so smart he forgot to pay his income tax, but he's part of this elite group. He comes from the Trilateral Commission, as well as, of course, all the other parts of what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness. The change we're going to get is a change for the worse. President Obama promised us change, but, of course, he is going to lead to the destruction of this nation and the impoverishment of our people, and they're going to destroy our currency. And there's no better way to destroy a nation than to destroy the currency.
Break down the financial situation we're facing. They've done this over and over again. The Federal Reserve and the private banks before they fully took over organized on record. It's mainline history, congressional testimony. Organized a bunch of runs on banks and crises and then promised the Federal Reserve would fix it all, and then even used their papers to advertise that the banks were against the Federal Reserve Act to trick people into going along with it when they were actually the authors of it from the Jekyll Island meeting. Parallels with what's happening today. I mean, what's it like for you, Dr. Stan Monteith, to actually see the Wall Street Journal, Market Watch, the Financial Times of London, Newsweek, hundreds of publications say, we have the answer. It's a brand new idea we just got. It's called a New World Order, word for word. It's going to be a private group of banks owning and running the world, and they will control all industry, and you will pay a carbon tax to them, and they will tell you what to do, and we'll have a North American Union with an SPP and an Amero. I mean, with headlines like, a North American Union will fix the problems, a new currency will fix the problems, and now for world government. So A, what's happening in your expert analysis with the economy right now, with their attack program? And then B, why are they now emerging and announcing everything we've warned people about for decades? What does it mean that they're now going public?
Well, I think that they feel that the American people, their minds are so controlled, they really will not be able to connect the dots. But your job and my job is to help them connect the dots. Their ultimate goal is a one-world government, a one-world economic system with one-world currency. But what everybody has missed is the one-world religion. And this is really what it's all about, because there are powerful spiritual forces that work behind this whole movement for one-world government. It is not simply by accident that the logo of the Trilateral Commission, and any of your listeners can see it, go up to trilateral.org. But their logo, well, if you look at it, they're three curved arrows, and you can almost imagine that they're sixes, like 666. But there's no way you can miss in the very center of the logo is an upside-down broken cross, the emblem of the hatred of Christianity. The Trilateral Commission, which was organized back in 1979, at least according to Senator Barry Goldwater in his book, With No Apologies, on page 280, he said the Trilateral Commission was established to gain financial and commercial control, and then, of course, by first taking over the political government of the United States. Now, they were organized in 1973. Jimmy Carter was one of the first members. Jimmy Carter became president in 1976. They put him in power because they controlled the media. They controlled Time magazine and Newsweek magazine and U.S. News and World Report. They controlled the conservative media. They controlled the liberal media. And that's how you control a country. And, of course, Jimmy Carter, there were only 50 members of the Northern American chapter of the Trilateral Commission at that time, and 19 of them were controlled the Carter administration.
Stay there. We've got a break. Dr. Stan Monteith's our guest. What's on the Obama agenda? What will the globalist front man do next? You'll hear it from a man who's been studying him for close to 50 years. Sundown on the Union, what was made in the USA. Ford and Chevy want to use the bailout money to move to Brazil. Oh, cities are passing laws banning gardens. You got to get a license. State brainwashing children to re-educate their parents for green dictatorship. Paul Watson's had a big article just up seconds ago at PrisonPlanet.com that I got him to do this morning. Dovetails with Al Gore going around telling kids how dumb their parents are and that they will rule the future. That's coming up. Democracy don't rule the world.
Democracy don't rule the world.
You better get that through your head. This world is ruled by violence. But I guess it goes unsaid. Let's go ahead and go back to Dr. Stan Monteith. Dr. Monteith, short segment, we'll come back in the longer one and get into more detail. But Barack Obama, I mean, this really is a packaged corporate 2.0 New World Order minion, isn't he?
Absolutely. One of the things they're trying to do is confuse us. They want us to focus our attention on his Marxist background, his association with communist revolutionaries and terrorists, you know, William Ayers and Bernardine Dorn. But the real thing is that he was put in power by the same people who put in all of our other presidents. Since 1976, every president and or vice president of the United States up until the present regime has come from the membership rolls of the Trilateral Commission. I mean, you could not have that happen by accident. I mean, 8 of our last 10 secretaries of state came from that organization. You know, probably 10 of our last or 8 of our last 12 secretaries of defense came from the same organization. I mean, the 6 of our 8 last World Bank presidents came from that last organization. There are only 87 members at the present time, and how could you possibly have them in key positions of power? Because they've taken over our government. We have two governments. We have a visible government, and we have our legislators and our congressmen. They get up and give speeches. They pass laws. But the elite doesn't obey the laws. We saw that with Thomas Daschle, part of the CFR, and I think he's a Trilateral Commission member, but I know he's a CFR member. He just didn't bother to pay $100,000 in income tax. Geithner, Secretary of the Treasury, it was TurboTax. They were the ones responsible. He didn't pay his taxes. These people don't abide by our laws. These people create wars and revolutions, and they kill people. And they certainly work in close proximity with the CIA, which is their arm, that they go out and hire professional assassinations. They kill world leaders. They install people in positions of power. And the invisible government doesn't abide by our laws because they're above the law.
But now it's not invisible. Why are they turning off their cloaking device? Well, a lot of people...
They have so much power. they really control the minds of the people of this country. I mean, all the times, how frequently people will call in and say, you know, I'm trying to tell people what's going on, and they don't want to hear it. Or they say, oh, well, you're just a conspiracy kook. I mean, anybody who's read the article that Henry Kissinger wrote for the International Herald Tribune on the 12th of January, and if you haven't got it, you Google it, you know, on the Internet, just International Herald Tribune, Henry Kissinger, 12th of January, New International Order, it'll come out. And the title of it is the Chance for a New World Order. And then it goes on, the first sentence, the first paragraph is to talk about how what's going on is an opportunity to bring in this new international order. They are so convinced it's going to happen that they have just thrown all caution to the wind, and they're telling us exactly what they intend, and they're going to tell us there is no alternative. I mean, you're either going to have the destruction of our economic system, you're going to lose everything you have, or you and the rest of the world are going to go along with it. Well, there is another alternative, is not to expose them, and of course to take away the control of our monetary system before they destroy the value of our currency. Do you realize that they've doubled the monetary base in the last 3 months? Do you know why it's hard to get a loan today? And I'll tell you why. And nobody is telling the American people these things. Number one, certainly on the 3rd of October of last year, the very day when Henry Paulson got his greedy little fingers on the $700 billion he had promised to use to buy up the mortgages so we could stop the foreclosures, and then refused to do it because he didn't want to stop this crisis. That very same day, the Federal Reserve System began paying interest on reserve deposits. Now,
Stay there. Recap this when we come back. This is key. It's all by design, on record. The Trilateral Commission, the CFR, the Club of Rome, they all brag about it. These groups, less than 1,000 men, interlock with Bohemian Grove, Skull and Bones, and then they have roundtable management groups over every other major nation that are their viceroys. This is how global government works. Stay with us. Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time. We are here live. I'm going to start simulcasting the show coming up in the next hour. Live at PrisonPlanet.tv, where the radio show becomes visual. Going back to Dr. Stan Monteith. Continuing, sir, start over with that last minute where you explain what they did October 3rd, the bait and switch, and then what the Federal Reserve started doing the day after that as well. And I mean, break down as simply for folks as you can in a nutshell, studying this monetary situation, what they're doing.
Well, of course, what they've done is made it so complex that the average individual can't figure it out. In fact, it took me a long time to figure this out. But basically, what they did was on the 3rd of October of last year, the Federal Reserve began paying interest on bank reserves that are deposited with them. Now, most people don't understand the fractional reserve banking system, but a bank has to keep, say, a 10% reserve, a fraction of what they're going to loan out. They can loan out, say, $1,000, but they've got to keep a reserve of $10, and they deposit that with the Federal Reserve system. The Federal Reserve doesn't pay any interest on it. It holds it, but then they can lend out $90 that with nothing behind it other than that 10% diffraction that's deposited with the Federal Reserve, which is a system foundation of our monetary system. But on October the 3rd, the Federal Reserve began paying the banks interest on the money that they deposited with them. They'd never done it before. Well, there's a lot of uncertainty out there in the smaller banks. I mean, if we lend our money, will we get it back? But now we don't have to just keep it sitting in our coffers. Why, we can lend it to the Federal Reserve, and they'll pay us interest. And so that's what happened. And instead of having $8 billion on deposit with the Federal Reserve, which had been the custom, that now there's suddenly over $500 billion. And what the Federal Reserve did All the time they're talking about how we want to get the monetary system working and get the banks loaning again was actually to absorb all of the money that was out there for loans. Of course, banks had a little money to loan, but most of it was in the hands of the Federal Reserve. Now, if they really wanted to encourage banks to loan, they'd stop paying interest, or they would charge them for the money that they have there, and then the banks would loan money. You see, they tell us they want to solve the problem. They don't want to solve the problem. They want this problem to get worse. The major banks, and I'm talking about J.P. Morgan Chase and Goldman Sachs, the people who head those banks had just happened to belong to the Trilateral Commission. So what they've done is, yes, they have money to lend, but of course they'll lend it at 10, 12, 15, or 20%. Southwest Airlines, one of the best-run airlines in this country, recently had to borrow money, $300 million, 10.5% interest. I mean, it's pretty hard to make a profit when you're paying that amount of interest. The other large airline companies that have to borrow money are going to be paying 15 or 20% interest.
Stop right there. Let's explain this very simply, because what you said is absolutely on target. They tell us that we need to be globalized. They have tax incentives for companies to move offshore. They destroy the real Main Street economy so that we're fully dependent on the fiat fractional reserve banking system. Then, from that point, they get everybody leveraged into deep debt. Then they come out and have the president and world leaders and prime ministers and the head of the Treasury and the head of the private Federal Reserve come out and say, we're going to have a depression to destroy confidence. While they were setting this up, they said everything was fine. As we pointed out, it was a setup for decades. They said, oh, no, that's a conspiracy theory. Everything's fine. Then they implode confidence. They get the Congress to pass a law that really wasn't a bailout, but that gave them dictatorial power where Congress or any court or agency couldn't review them. They then set up rules where real banks or Main Street banks can invest their tiny fraction of real capital with them, and it's the only place they can get a guaranteed investment, so everything floods into the Federal Reserve, killing what little bit of cash was actually out there to loan, deepening the recession going into depression. Then they come out with phase two saying we've got to have this big global bank that'll take over industry, that'll cap salaries, that'll control everything to, quote, get the big bad bankers, but they have loopholes for themselves. They wrote the thing and designed it to begin with, so they're imploding the world economy so that they can suck it all up in this cash-starved environment because they're the only ones that have money.
You're absolutely right. And what we are witnessing today is the greatest transfer of wealth that has ever occurred. We hear a lot about how we're going to put a new bailout bill. Obama says, if you don't give me the money, you're going to be responsible for the catastrophe. Well, if anybody has really studied what's gone on, during the last year 2008, they put out almost $8 trillion to support and really transferring the money to the international financiers. In fact, Ben Bernanke has given $2 trillion away, and he won't even tell Bloomberg, he won't tell Congress, he won't tell anybody where that money has gone. He says it's a trade secret, sort of like when Madoff, you know, was asked if somebody could audit his corporation, the Ponzi scheme, and he said, no, that's a trade secret. We can't let people do it. But we're talking about $2 trillion with Bernanke. I
mean, well, let's stop
Madoff
there. Let's stop there.
That was a piker.
Well, I mean, let's stop there. I mean, let's stop there because I want to get your take on this. Bloomberg filed suit 2 weeks after the bailout. So
right.
So we're now 6, 7, 8 weeks or more out from that. It was $2+ trillion then. The last number we got, which was 4 weeks after that, was $8.5 trillion. So that's
the total amount.
Yes.
Basically, that is the total amount that they had pledged or given or lent as of last year. But see, well, if $8.5 trillion wouldn't solve the problem, why would we think that that another $900 million, some of it's going to, you know, for health care for children, and some of it's going to prevent sexually transmitted disease, and some of it, $4.2 billion, are going to go to ACORN and other local community organizations, you know, that can agitate to change the laws.
And the FEMA camps.
Right. why would we? None of this is really going. I mean, maybe $50 billion of the money is going to go for infrastructure development to create jobs, but most of those jobs are not going to be around until 2010 or 2011. This is all part of the program to destroy our currency. Why? Because where does the money come from? Well, they're not going to tax the people. They're cutting taxes. So they're going to have to borrow the money. Where is the money coming from? Well, since foreigners are not going to continue funding this, they're going to have to create the money. And what they have done is the Federal Reserve has started creating money. They've doubled the monetary base within the last 4 months, but they haven't told the American people that, which means that the value of the currency that you hold has really gone down 50% during that period of time. But the inflation hasn't become apparent, however it's going to. And if you read Alan Greenspan's book, The Age of Turbulence, which is an excellent source of information, Alan Greenspan is a member of the Trilateral Commission, was a member of the Bilderbergers, was a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, regularly socialized, according to the book, with David Rockefeller and Henry Kissinger. David Rockefeller organized the Trilateral Commission, the honorary chairman of the Council on Foreign Relations, was the vice chairman for 15 years, was the chairman for 15 years, and now he's the honorary chairman. He runs that organization. He always has. He's always financed it. He's a permanent member of the Bilderbergers. He is the leading internationalist. And here's Alan Greenspan, you know, going right along with them, socializing with him and Henry Kissinger, who also has the same pedigree. But Alan Greenspan in that book will tell you that the best way to destroy a nation is to debauch the currency. And not one person in a million will understand what's happening. Those are his words, not mine. And that's what they're going to do. If you destroy the value of our currency, you destroy the value of the pension funds, of the savings, the annuities, the insurance policies, you just impoverish our people. And impoverished people, they believe, are going to go along with their plan for the one world government and give up their freedom. And that's why they've got the concentration camps there. They've had them for a long period of time. As you know, they gave Halliburton back in 2006, Kellogg Brown and Root, a subdivision of Dick Cheney's Halliburton, $385 million to be prepared to start actually building detention camps.
And people thought that it would all end when Obama came in, but instead they're radically expanding it and now openly announcing it. And they're announcing a new civilian domestic military. They're setting up Obama's private population squads, running national PSAs to join USAservice.org, which is a group under him. They're talking about compulsory service, 18 to 24. I mean, they're making their move.
They really are. But I think what's so important is for the American people to understand this was all planned. I mean, Henry Paulson had $700 million. He could have stopped the whole thing. Started buying up the bonds, these collateralized debt obligations made up of insolvent mortgages. He absolutely refused to do it. In fact, he couldn't even give away the full $700 billion. He could only give away $350 billion of it. They left $350 billion for Obama. But why didn't he do what was necessary? Because they don't want to stop the problem. They do not want to stop the economic collapse. It took them a long time to create it. But one of the best stories that nobody has ever told is the story of Elliot Spitzer. And, of course, everybody remembers when he was humiliated in March of last year. But they don't know what led up to the FBI story about his cavorting with a high-paid prostitute. It was on the 18th of February last year. When Elliot Spitzer wrote an article that appeared in the Washington Post, and basically the article said this, that all 50 state attorney generals, the attorney generals of every state in the union, recognize the danger of the predatory lending practices, the insolvent lending practices were being carried out to encourage people to buy homes that they couldn't afford. And the attorney generals knew this was going to lead to the destruction of our financial system. So all of the 50 state attorney generals wanted actually to take action to stop the predatory lending practices, to prevent the destruction of our monetary system, but the Bush administration intervened and blocked them. So that article was written and published in the of Washington Post on the 18th of February. 3 weeks later, on the 11th of March, the FBI leaks a story. The story is that they found out that Elliot Spitzer is involved with a terrible federal crime. He's paying a high-paid prostitute for her services. Now, why is the FBI investing prostitution? Prostitution is not a federal crime. Why did they leak the story on Elliot Spitzer? Why? So that nobody would dare tell the American people what Elliot Spitzer did, and that is that the government knew it was coming down the line, and they let it happen. Alan Greenspan knew it was coming down the line. He was warned by Ed Gramlich, who was a member of the Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve.
Well, they only put out little warnings to cover their own butts, but let me explain to people how we know what you're saying is right. A few examples of hundreds I could give. The very same international banking cartel, over and over and over again, has engineered the same exact operations in third world nations, and the goal is to get them deep in debt with fiat currency, the bankers pull out of their hat, implode the nation, and then come in and take over the full infrastructure and then set up the IMF World Bank rules over their industry, their country, force the nation to sign treaties to waive what's left of their sovereignty. Another example of them doing this by design, because this is what they do. It's like the scorpion's on the back of the frog and says, give me a ride across the river. And he says, but you'll sting me. And he says, no, I won't. And when the frog gets him to the other end of the river, he stings him and the frog's dying in the water. And he says, why'd you sting me? I helped you. And he said, I'm a scorpion.
Yeah, that's a wonderful story, because that's what scorpions do. They sting people.
But exactly, but it's the same thing. They lied over the last few decades. In the last 2-3 years ago, we were telling people, 4 years ago, we were telling people, hey, they're going to implode the subprime mortgage by design. They're going to announce a new world government bank. They're going to, quote, have a bailout and suck us all dry. I mean, my film Endgame covers this. Endgame 1.5 expands on it on record. I mean, we're there outside Bilderberg saying this is what inside sources told us. And after all of this happens, then suddenly with the bailouts, they all come out and have their newspapers say, we're going into depression, to destroy confidence and to make people hold onto their money, to make lending and commerce stop. So they always lie when they're setting it up, but then they always create fear and blow the horn of fear like they did in 29 when they're ready to consolidate. So they've set this trap for a long, long time. But we have Daniel Estulin, who had sources inside Bilderberg, and Jim Tucker on tape in Endgame and in Endgame 1.5, the expanded extras. And I'm there in the restaurant at the other hotel after we'd covered Bilderberg, and he just talked to his sources, meeting with them secretly in the town. These are, by the way, intelligence agents inside, and he knows they're good because the info's always proven accurate. And I say, okay, Daniel, we played the clip here. What's happening? He said, okay, they want to sucker everybody back into the stock market. So they're going to run gas up from $60 a barrel like it is right now to $150. And then they're going to implode the subprime mortgages by design. They want everybody to go bankrupt, and then prices are going to fall, and then it's all going to explode again. Every word for word happened. This was 3 years ago.
They ran the price of oil down from $147 on July 11th of last year to where it is today. And this was all done because they control the markets. They rig the markets. They manipulate the stock market, but they control the media. And you pick up the Wall Street Journal, and article after article after article, doom, gloom, terrible. I mean, things could be good if you read the article, but the headline is going to catch your attention, and things are going from bad to worse. And the thing is, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. 500,000 people are losing their jobs every month. They lost them, in November. They lost them in December. They lost them in January. And it'll be the same thing or worse this month.
Well, let me just add a caveat and then come back and the time we have left cover other issues here with Dr. Stan Monteith. It's this. People are saying, well, Alex, why are you being gloom and doom? Well, understand, I'm not the engineer of all of this. I'm not standing back and saying all this is happening because we were greedy and we were bad and people got loans they shouldn't have. They're suckers. They're certainly part of it. We're here observing the real train of history, the MO of these people, their own documents, what they do. And so we're telling you it's going to get really bad because they're going to show us no mercy because they want to bring in a total depression so they can consolidate power and bring in even more control and then make you be beholden and domesticated and institutionalized in their system. We're saying it could be stopped, but their solutions will only exacerbate it because it's designed to, Dr. Monteith.
Right. I mean, this whole thing, everything they're doing is bad. They're saying, this came about because we didn't have enough regulation. No, the laws were there. They absolutely refused to enforce the laws.
Selectively enforced.
Selectively, and they selectively created this whole thing. People don't even talk about the derivative time bomb that's out there.
Stay there. Let's cover that in the final 5 minutes with Dr. Stan Monteith of Radio Liberty. I'm Alex Jones.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation. It's Alex Jones, only on the GCN Radio Network.
Waging war on corruption. We're going live at prisonplanet.tv in about 6 minutes. We're going to be simulcasting with Jason Burmis via video phone. He'll be on with us. Then Aaron Zellman, and then we'll get into the supervolcano in Yellowstone. Is it going to blow? 400-plus earthquakes in the last 6 months to a year. Dr. Monteith, you were getting into the derivatives. Again, to explain this, the big central banks and their allied crime syndicate, the brokerage firms, they come out, they package debt that, again, is fiat, only taxpayers backing it up with the nationalization. That's really privatization in the final equation for them. And they sell it all over the world, and while it still is while the Ponzi scheme's working, they buy up all the real assets around the planet, buy off more governments, buy off more of the defense contractors, media, vertically integrate the economy, and then they leave us holding the bag. Please continue.
What we're seeing is the greatest transfer of wealth in all recorded history, and most people have no idea what's happened, and it's all designed to destroy our economy and to impoverish our people. But the derivatives are really incredible. They are basically insurance policies on performance without any reserves behind them. In other words, would you buy an insurance policy, a fire insurance policy, if the insurance company didn't have any money? Would you buy automobile insurance to protect you in case of an accident if the insurance company didn't have any money or funds behind it? But that's what the derivatives were. They were insurance policies on bonds and other investment vehicles saying, well, if this bond should default and you should not be getting your money back, then we'll cover it. You got nothing to worry about. So they made, you know, hundreds of billions of dollars selling these derivatives. Now, there are derivatives out there that are valued somewhere between $700 trillion and $250 billion. We don't know, but the figure that I read is $600 trillion, $700 trillion, a quadrillion dollars of derivatives out there, and you and I are going to be responsible for those because we have already said we're going to back up, you know, J.P. Morgan if they get into trouble. We're already taking on a $350 billion responsibility for Citigroup, probably over a well over $1 trillion on AIG because they have written all these derivative contracts. When these all come down, they're all going to come down on the backs of the American taxpayers because they tell us, well, these companies are just too big to fall. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got to let them fall. We've got to stop this foolishness. We've got to expose the financial people that are destroying the value of our currency, but we also have to explore the spiritual forces which energize this whole thing. And if I could put a plug in for my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and for our website, RadioLiberty.com, our November and December 2008 newsletters tell you exactly how they pulled off this whole financial scam. And what we need is every one of your listeners to get the information out that people are going to lose everything they have when they destroy our currency. It's not happening by accident, by intent. And the derivative bomb is the ultimate bomb. It's going to come cascading down in the next couple of years.
And the destruction that it brings will create a crisis that they will build their new world order on in their own words. So give the websites Radio Liberty.
RadioLiberty.com. That's www.radioliberty.com.
And the book is The Brotherhood of Darkness there on the site. Dr. Stan Monteith, let's have you back up again in the next few weeks to get into the spiritual nature. I mean, Henry Paulson himself, just one of these characters, is into all this occultic stuff and eugenics and anti-human and environmental land grabbing. They're a sinister group of creatures, and they are in control of the planet right now. Only by exposing them can we then have any chance of rallying the people to arrest these criminals. That's why they have NORTHCOM standing by, to stop the people from ever bringing the crime syndicate to justice. Dr. Monteith, thanks for joining us.
It's my pleasure, and have your assistant call and tell me when you can come on my program. Love to
God bless you.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We are live at PrisonPlanet.tv, simulcasting the syndicated radio broadcast. Got a top volcanologist joining us coming up in the next segment to get into what's happening in Yellowstone. We'll get into the Second Amendment a lot more in the hour for that with Aaron Zellman and Jason Burmis. All right, I've got to cover this sometime today. I'm going to get back into it with Jason Burmis. Gore to children, question your parents' climate beliefs as we questioned segregation. So see, now if you're not for accepting global taxes and that there's global warming and that the seasons are unnatural and it's not supposed to get hotter and colder and that you are a Holocaust denier, you don't like black people, you're against civil rights. And before I get to this, look at this New York Times story. Pint-sized eco-police making parents proud and sometimes crazy. And public and private school all over the nation, the majority of them, I've seen Time Magazine for Kids saying, that's given out in the public schools, oh, your parents are backwards and dumb. They don't know how great it is to get an implantable chip. The Nazis, the Soviets, they always come and tell the children, you're the boss of your parents. Report on them. And all over the country, they have BATF grants to local police to have officers in the middle schools writing dossiers on their parents. I covered my film, Police State 2, The Takeover. I mean, this is happening. And you read this article, sometimes Jennifer Ross feels she cannot make a move at home without inviting the scorn of her daughters, 10-year-old Grace and 7-year-old Alyssa. And it shows the daughters bossing her on the photo, looking at her like this, and she's... yes, master. The Acura MDX she drives, a flagrant polluter. The bath at night to help her relax. A wasteful indulgence. The reusable shopping bag she forgot. Again, tisk, tisk. I am very, very, very environmentally conscious children, more so than me, and I'm embarrassed to say, said Miss Ross, a social worker in Dobbs Ferry, New York. They are on my case about getting a hybrid car. They want me to replace all the light bulbs in the house with energy-saving bulbs. And then now it says they don't use the washer, they've got clotheslines in the house, and her kids are the boss because the state says so. So the state is the boss. This is right out of 1984, where, you know, the children are spies of the parents. Now, here is the clip. There's several of these. One of Glenn Beck's listeners recorded this of Al Gore at a school. And this is him telling the kids that basically... their parents don't understand, but they, as 11 and 12-year-olds in this middle school, they do. Now, again, it isn't about the environment, folks. It's about control. It's about bringing in global taxes to be paid to the new global central bank. Openly announced, as we told you for years, now public. We're right. Here it is.
But I'm thinking back now a long way to when I was your age and the Civil Rights Revolution was... unfolding. And we kids asked our parents and their generation, explain to me again why it's okay for the law to officially discriminate against people because of their skin color. And parents try to tell their kids the right thing, you know. Usually, I do. And when our parents generation couldn't answer that question, that's when the law started to change.
Okay, stop for a second.
Yeah, let's go to the next part of the clip.
There are some things about our world that you know that older people don't know.
And it goes on and on. There's another clip we'll play later, and I'm going to comment on this more. But understand, folks, I just remembered this New York Times article today and pulled it up. There are hundreds. In England, they're having them wear climate cop uniforms, black, white, and red climate cops with a patch on the shoulder. And we've been to Obama rallies where they wear green uniforms with helmets. And they're going to come out and enforce all of this, controlling every facet of your life, taxing and regulating, taxing farms, ranches, factories, businesses. They're going to list carbon dioxide as a toxic waste. That's what plants breathe. I mean, this is going on. So you put your children in public school and most private schools, the state is taking them away from you on these petty power trips. And young people, they're just setting you up to be slaves. The state isn't your friend.
Hello.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
You know, this radio show is not normally about earth changes. We cover political news, socioeconomic developments, things of that nature. Some people in this genre, alternative media, love to fearmonger about asteroids hitting the earth and killing everybody, or wiping out most of civilization. They love to freak out about tsunamis and earthquakes, and certainly that's a big problem. If you happen to be one of the areas affected by it, hundreds of thousands of people every few years get killed by violent earth changes. But that said, when I get into the fact that the super volcano in Yellowstone Park, that's the epicenter of it, is a very, very serious issue, it's because I'm reading what the seismologist, the volcanologist, and other people that study this are saying. And I remember first reading about this a decade ago with a lot of big universities and researchers saying, this thing looks like it may be starting to get active again. That's why you have the geysers. That's why you have the mud pits. And if it ever erupted, it could kill hundreds of thousands, millions of people, depending on which direction it explodes. It could blast rock, a third of the way across the country, shoot dust into the atmosphere, cooling the Earth's temperature for years. This is a super volcano, not your little standard ones like a Mount St. Helens. But instead of myself here commenting on this, we have a top volcanologist on. He's the director of the International Volcanic Research Center based in Apache Junction, Arizona, and they have researchers that are members of the group worldwide. And one of the other reasons we have him on is that they've had hundreds of earthquakes there in the last year and in surrounding areas around Yellowstone. It's rising in some areas, falling in others. The magma chamber, we call it a batholith, is getting bigger. Recent Yellowstone quake swarm, second most intense on record. That's AP. Yellowstone quakes died down. Officials seek to ease supervolcano fears. They even had fake evacuation warnings and people panicking. This is after 500 earthquakes, not 400. So we've got a top volcanologist, Dr. Robert B. Trombley, on with us, PhD, to break down from his expert opinion and research exactly what is going on and studying the volcano himself physically. Sir, it's great to have you here with us.
Well, thank you very much for having me on the show. Delighted to be here with you. I was listening to your interview talking about asteroids. I was originally trained as an astronomer, so I was very interested in that as well. But at any rate, first of all, for starters, relative to Yellowstone, there should not be any panic or fear amongst the populace at the moment. As of the 4th of February, day before yesterday, the University of Utah seismic stations reported that the activity from January 9th to the 12th, where we had a secondary swarm of 35 earthquakes occurred near the northeast edge of the Yellowstone caldera, which is about 10 miles north-northeast of the north end of the Yellowstone Lake swarm. And for those of you who do not know what a swarm is, it's basically earthquakes that are closely spaced in time and area are termed swarms, and are quite common mode of seismic energy release at the Yellowstone caldera. From 1984 to 2008, there were 80 swarms documented at Yellowstone. But at the moment, actually this started on December 26th of 2008, the second largest earthquake swarm at Yellowstone occurred. in its history. It occurred beneath the north end of Yellowstone Lake, and it has continued into January of 2009, but then subsided rather quickly in the activity on January 5th. So the lake swarm actually in this case consisted of 813 well-located earthquakes with magnitudes ranging from 0.8 to 3.9. This sequence contained 19 earthquakes of greater than 3 magnitude, 141 events of greater than 2 but less than 3, and several of the greater than 3 swarm events were felt throughout the national park and surrounding area. Now, as I said, that's quite a common occurrence at Yellowstone and has been for a long, long time. It last erupted 740,000 years ago, I believe.
Was that the Lava Creek eruption that ejected stuff all the way into the Pacific Ocean?
Yes, yeah. And I believe it was 740,000 years ago, right? Or it was 610, I can't remember.
630 is what the graphic says, but go ahead.
Yeah, 630, that's it, that's right. So it's only erupted 3 times in its entire history. But there is no, as I said, there's no real cause for alarm at the moment. In fact, the earthquake activity has subsided quite a bit of late. So, but this is a common occurrence that occurs at Yellowstone. Now, you also mentioned growing, and that's called deformation, ground deformation. Through January of this year, the continuous ground positioning system data showed that much of the Yellowstone caldera continued moving upward, although at a lower rate than the past several years. The nearest GPS station to the swarm at a place called Lake Junction, which is about 2 kilometers from the swarm, has experienced a ground lift over the last 55 months of about approximately 18 centimeters. So it's really not too much.
Okay, let me ask you this, because talking during the break, is there any danger of it erupting? And if it did erupt, what would happen looking at the last eruptions?
Okay, first of all, no, there's no real danger of it erupting at the moment. My normal take on this is it would not probably be erupting for several hundred or even thousands of years from now. The reason basically is because of all of the activity that's going on, the swarming, the geysers, this is all part of an energy release. And when you're releasing energy, even though it's not major bits of energy, it's still relieving the pressure, so to speak, on the volcano.
But in a scale of 630,000 years from the last one, if you're saying in the next few decades, next 100 years, next 1,000, is it, though, you believe from the evidence, entering into the cycle of eruption?
It could be, but there's no real indication of that at the moment. I mean, it's not acting up in the normal.
You had told me off air, I believe you were saying 61% with the computers, though, that it will erupt. But I guess you mean the next...
No, that was readout.
Readout, okay.
Readout in Alaska.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that one in a moment.
Okay.
Now, this is a super volcano, correct?
Correct.
Can you tell us the difference between this and, say, Mount Redoubt in Alaska?
Yes. First of all, the Yellowstone caldera is about 32 miles long and about 8 miles wide. That's how big it is in reality. We normally... Let me put it in the simplest terms as possible. We have in our business a scale called VEI, which means Volcano Explosive Index. It runs on a scale of 0 to 8, 0 being the lowest, 8 being the highest. And it's a measure of the amount of ash and so forth outputting from the volcano. Now, for starters, it's logarithmic, which means that as you go up on the scale, it means it's 10 times more material output from the volcano than the previous one. For example,
exponential.
Yes. VEI of 2 is 10 times more material output than a VEI of 1.
So it's like the Richter scale.
Yes. And very much like the Richter scale on a scale of 10. That's right. Now, just to give you some perspective, Hawaii's Kilauea volcano, which is erupting right now, is usually at a 0, a 1, and occasionally a 2. It's a very effusive-type lava. Mount St. Helens, that most people are familiar with, that erupted in 1980, that was a 5 on our scale. Now, there has never been in recorded history an 8 eruption, but the last one occurred 76,000 years ago in Toba in Sumatra. But that type of an eruption of a supervolcano, which is a VEI of 8, and again, there's never been one in recorded history per se, that could cause, if it went completely catastrophic, it could cause us into another ice age. So it would have global effects. But again, that's not even showing any signs whatsoever at Yellowstone at the moment.
Okay, but on the scale then, this would be thousands of times bigger eruption than what we see with lava just pouring out and covering some jungle, some tropic forest in something like what's happening in Hawaii. And even compared to Mount St. Helens, we're talking hundreds or thousands of times bigger.
Well, it would be thousands of times bigger if it erupted catastrophically full scale.
And that means exploding from the pressure building up like St. Helens?
Yes. Yeah,
like a St. Helens. Now, what are the three types of volcanoes? Because you have the big explosive ones that shoot all the ash and rock. Those have a different name, don't they, than one that just oozes the lava?
Yeah, we have basically three types of volcanoes. Actually, we have 14, but the three most common are strato or composite volcanoes. These are volcanoes like Mount St. Helens and so forth. We also have what are called hotspot volcanoes. That would be like Kilauea. A hotspot volcano, the simplest explanation for that is if you can imagine yourself being inside of a basketball with a hot poker and sticking it from the inside out.
Stay there. We got a break. This is riveting information. We have a top volcanologist on the line with us breaking down all this increase in volcanic activity worldwide and what it may mean. Robert R.B. Trombley, Ph.D., is the founder and principal research volcanologist at the SWVRC and is registered volcanologist with the International Association of Volcanology and Chemistry for the Earth's Interior. He's an award-winning scientist and has traveled all over the world working on volcanoes. Dr. Trombley is also affiliated with many other volcanology associations. He is a principal designer of the highly successful software program called Eruption Pro 10.5, which provides long-term range forecasts for volcanic eruptions all over the world. One of the top volcano eruption experts out there in the world. We're very, very honored to have him. I had misplaced his bio at the beginning of the show, so we went back over that. Okay, this is a short segment, long one coming up next, the final segment with you, but let's get right back into the three types of volcanoes and these very low explosive types that you were talking about that are just oozing versus the Mount St. Helens that is so explosive, and then the other type. Please continue.
Yeah, sure. That's we started with the composite and stratos. Those are like the Mount St. Helens and so forth, and those are usually the more explosive type volcanoes. A hotspot volcano such as Kilauea is a relatively what we call effusive output. It's just a flowing of lava and so forth. And the third most common type of volcano is called a cinder cone. And the reason it's called that is because the output of the volcano is very much like the cinders you see on a gravel driveway, for example. They normally don't explode more than once or twice in their lifetime.
That's the classic ones we see in dinosaur paintings or in the Flintstones.
Yes. That's right. And by the way, your listeners can check out all the latest eruptions that we have all over the world right now on our website, which is www.intlvrc.org. So,
and we'll put that up on screen for folks because we're also simulcasting the radio show
great.
Via television. Doctor, Is overall volcanic activity increasing right now? Are we in an uptick in the cycle? Just from watching the news, it seems like there's a lot more eruptions going on right now.
No, that's somewhat of an illusion. Now, we normally have about 40 to 60 eruptions a year. The reason that it appears that way is because of the technology and the mass media we have now. I mean, you know, 10, 15 years ago, a lot of people didn't even know an eruption went off, except those of us in the business. And sometimes we get that 3-4 weeks later, even longer.
Yeah.
Now it's almost if an eruption goes off anywhere in the world, including in the oceans and so forth, like on islands, I mean, in the oceans and stuff like that, we know about it within minutes.
How many other super volcanoes are there that are somewhat active that aren't dormant?
First of all, they're all dormant at the moment, fortunately. Not extinct, but dormant, which means they're just sleeping. There's about two or three of them. Yellowstone is one, the one in Sumatra, Toba, and another one in New Zealand called Taupo.
Any undersea ones? I would imagine that a lot of them are
super volcanoes that we know of at the moment. There's lots of volcanoes under the ocean, but none of them are super volcanoes.
So this would be thousands of times what Mount St. Helens was. Why are people panicking? Why are some people moving out of the area? Why are they having false alerts if this is just part of a normal cycle?
Well, I don't really know why the fear factor is in there, but it could be tied to a few things. Number one, they had a movie, kind of a semi-documentary on Yellowstone eruption not too long ago. And that was very, very accurate, by the way. So that might be a part of it. The other is, you know, people are just generally afraid and so forth.
Could it be that earthquakes have been killing more people and they saw the big tsunami and folks are realizing this is a planet that's always changing? You know, I hear terms like we've got to stop climate change, but the climate's always changing. And I've read that volcanoes put out a lot more CO2 and other greenhouse gases than humans ever could.
That's true that volcanoes do put out a lot of different kinds of gases and so forth, but they're, I would say overall the contribution of volcanoes to climate global warming and so on is somewhat minor. I think more damage is done by human stuff that you hear about all the time.
Really, humans, I mean, the ocean's full of CO2, and I've seen the charts just thousands of times what human activity is, but I mean, I guess that's just another issue.
Yes, it is. You know, I do believe in global warming and so forth, but I don't think the volcanoes have, I shouldn't say they don't have anything to do with it. They have a very minor place in it as well.
I mean, my issue is, I thought the sun was most of climate. I mean, the ice caps on Mars were getting smaller. Now they're getting bigger because things cooled off.
No, that's a normal cycle on Mars.
Yeah.
The ice caps waning and waxing as they were.
And see, I thought it was a normal cycle here, too, because we see it all over the solar system. But let's get back into volcanoes, sir, in a final segment straight ahead. Robert Trombley, Ph.D., doctor of volcanology, is our guest, and getting a lot of calls about the Yellowstone, all these hundreds of earthquakes. Briefly, what's happening up in Alaska? You're saying it's a probability that is going to erupt?
Yeah, as of today, the Alaska Volcano Observatory has reported that the Redoubt Volcano continues seismic activity. And it's continued unrest. The seismic activity is remaining at elevated and is steady and is well above the background level at the moment. However, the overall level of the seismic activity has declined somewhat over the last 24 hours, as a matter of fact. We do have webcams and satellite images from this volcano, and this morning have been somewhat obscured by the clouds. But at any rate, the melting of the glacier has produced a 200-mile hole, which is emitting gases. In fact, the Federal Aviation Administration has issued a temporary flight restriction for a 10-mile radius around the Redoubt volcano up to 60,000 feet. So it's still at unrest, but it's has not erupted yet. It may erupt. We are forecasting it to erupt at about 61% probability right now within days or weeks.
And what type of volcano is this? How big will the eruption be?
Well, we don't know how big the eruption will be. We never know that, but it is a strato-type volcano. So that it's most of your stratovolcanoes lie along plate margins. So that's what kind of volcano that is.
I know you don't really study hydrogen bombs, but there were some debates about if there was ever, you know, nuclear testing causing earthquakes, and some evidence that it was triggering seismic activity around the world and kind of a domino effect. I wonder what would happen if a hydrogen bomb went off over Yellowstone or right in the middle of the caldera. Could that open up a fissure? I mean, we know the Earth's a bunch of tectonic plates floating around on molten magma. I'm just curious because there's a lot of military bases based out there and things.
I suppose it could, yes. And the reason I'm somewhat laughing is because we get all kinds of questions on our website. We have an email address that people can write in questions. Every once in a while, we had one guy a couple of years ago wanted to know if we could plant bombs in Yellowstone to relieve the pressure and so forth. so that's not going to happen. But sure, any type of bomb could cause a rupture in the magma chamber and so forth. In fact, there's a very famous story about World War II in Italy. Bomber pilots and fighter pilots used to drop their unspent bombs, supposedly, in Vesuvius, and that's what caused it to erupt the last time in 1944. So, that never really did happen, but that's what all the Italian people used to say. The reason the volcano erupted is because pilots were dropping their bombs in the volcano.
Boy, Vesuvius sure killed a lot of people, didn't it?
Yes, that's
Pompeii.
That's right.
Killed quite a few. All right, well, as things develop, we'd like to have you back up, sir. Fire out that website again for folks that want to learn more about volcanic activity worldwide.
Yeah, our website is www.intlvrc.org.
All right, so intlvrc.org, the International Volcanic Research Center.
Correct.
Thank you so much for spending time with us, Doctor.
And thank you for having us on.
Thank you. You bet. Okay, that ran a little bit over, but it's important information, so we covered it there for you to try to answer some of the listeners' questions, at least from his perspective. Now for the balance of this hour, maybe a little bit in the next hour, then Jason Burmis will be with us on PrisonPlanet.tv, simulcasting via video cam from upstate New York. Aaron Zellman with one of the only real pro-Second Amendment groups in this country. We've had Larry Pratt with his hundreds of thousands of members and Gunners of America come on and tell you and read the quotes and documents. The NRA was founded as a gun control organization that had helped pass the 68 Gun Control Act and others before that. It's a Judas goat, and they've introduced a bunch of bills to psychologically test, to make you become federally licensed, to get your all of your psychological records. We now have the chief of staff, Rahm Emanuel, saying that they want to have a blacklist, the million plus people now on the no fly list, that without ever charging you or even letting you know, that they'll just put people they don't like on the list so you can't own guns. They're saying they're going to use the threat of terrorism as a way to sell this. They've introduced bills to allow the attorney general through executive fiat to ban any semi-automatics he wishes at any time, or any gun that has something they don't like, not just semi-auto, the way it's written. And these things are getting co-sponsors. This is rushing forward. This is happening. We look at Obama's voting record, Rahm Emanuel's voting record in the House and Senate. They believe reasonable gun control is D.C. total ban, Chicago ban. So I wanted to get the director of Jews of Preservation of Firearms Ownership, Aaron Zellman, on with us to get his response to this, because in the past, the establishment came out and tried to push gun control and sell it. They've been losing that battle for the hearts and minds in all the polls. So now they're trying to shut down manufacturers, harass gun dealers, shut down gun shows, make everybody register. Now they are just not trumpeting their attack. They're just doing it. Aaron Zellman, good to have you on with us. Please give us a report about the dire situation the Second Amendment's in.
Well, thank you, Alex. Well, you are right about a dire situation. We are faced with a war on gun owners waged by the government. It's a mission that I guess you could call it the United States government's final solution to the Second Amendment. I'm not trying to be funny with words. But that's how serious the situation is with these folks that are now in charge. And I would like to add, every gun owner who voted for the Obama administration, I think they're too damn stupid to own a gun. They should give it to someone who appreciates the Second Amendment. But with that said, let's go forward. You're right, and Larry Pratt is right, too. We are, I think, being sold out by the NRA, quite frankly. I mean, we've been telling people for a long time that the NRA wrote a letter to one of our members saying they did not want to abolish the ATF. The ATF is the archenemy of the Second Amendment. The ATF will take its jackbooted marching orders from the Obama administration to destroy the Second Amendment.
Well, look at Holder. Look at Holder. He wants a total gun ban. He argued before the Supreme Court for the D.C. gun ban.
Well, that's correct. That's right. Well, let me just finish this one thought.
Now, go ahead.
If someone is doubtful of what I'm saying, they can go to our website, jpfo.org. They can look at the letter the NRA wrote to one of our members, make it very clear they don't want to abolish the ATF. So I think people need to understand that we have more than just enemies in within the White House.
Yeah, we don't just have enemies without the gate.
Pardon me?
We have enemies within and without. Go ahead.
Okay, that's a good way to put it. So at any rate, I think that I'm glad to tell you we're working on a project. I can't talk a lot about it now, but hopefully, if gun owners will use it, it will put the Obama administration on the defensive, and it will raise the ire of millions and millions of people who have a vested interest in firearms ownership, and get them motivated. We'll give them the intellectual ammunition they need, but it's going to be at least 60 days before we have that out.
All right, let's go over, I mean, I've analyzed these bills last week and this week on air, but let's go over the armada of them. Each one of these makes the Sullivan's ban look tame. I mean, national registration, licensing, your psychological records, by fiat, the attorney general banning whatever guns he wants, shutting down gun shows, shutting down private transfer. I mean, I have never seen anything like this. This is the full-on assault, and it's like you hear crickets.
Well, I think that, first of all, we have to keep an eye on which of these bills actually gets out of committee. That's important that people realize that, to keep an eye on if the bill gets out of committee. There are people in the Congress who realize that gun control is a great way for them to lose an election. And that might put a damper on some of this nonsense. But it's dangerous because it's there. I think the other danger, quite frankly, is that the Obama administration will create some kind of must-pass legislation, and then some amendments will be tacked onto it.
Pork barrel.
Hoping to destroy the Second Amendment.
Yes.
I mean, that's what we're dealing with here. It's beyond just watching it come out of committee. But so we really are dealing with some dangerous fascists who do not want the American people to defend themselves against the ever-growing government.
Let's be clear about this, and I want to get your take on it, Aaron Zellman, jpfo.org. I mean, just boil it down and make it simple. These are prominent members of the House reintroducing legislation that the chief of staff, now the White House, Rahm Emanuel, originally introduced. Now, these things have got a lot of political power. They're just waiting for some shooting or something they stage to allow this to carry out. And they're saying they want to use the anti-terror apparatus they've built up in the phony war on terror against the Second Amendment. So my point is, These bills let us know the Obamanoids' intention. So can you speak to that and then speak to the record of Obama, of Emanuel, and of Holder and others?
Well, first of all, I think their intentions are very clear that they don't want people to be armed. I think that you will see, I guess you would call it a red flag operation, where military pattern weapons are used to justify calling for a ban. And I wouldn't put it past the ATF or other groups like that to stage that type of an operation. They don't really care if human beings are killed. It's really not a high priority to them. The Obama comes from Illinois. Emanuel comes from Illinois. And they are great fans of banning guns outright, of taxing. They have a long history of wanting to destroy gun ownership. And they really are, they're very... Well, they're dishonest in many ways. One of them are morally bankrupt. The other is that they are intellectually dishonest because they claim that the crime is the reason they want to ban guns. What they don't take a look at and what they don't admit is the cause of the crime. And I think in many instances, it's what I would call the narco economy. It is the war on drugs that is creating the violence, the crime.
Stop. Let me back you up. Mexico has hundreds of murders a week, sometimes more. They are having tens of thousands of murders, drug-related. There's a total gun ban. Citizens can't own guns in Mexico, and the whole society is imploding because the cartels are battling with the government that's been caught dealing drugs a million times. So it's a drug war, but the only real drug war is the drug dealers fighting with each other. So you're absolutely right, and look at the places where we have the narco-terrorists, Chicago, New York, places like that. Most of these children dying we hear about in the news are gangbanger numbers of them shooting each other. So I was just backing you up. Please continue.
Yeah, in other words, you know, when you talk about the inner cities, usually this is populated by black people. And probably 80% of the crime there is black-on-black crime, and most of it's related to a fighting over turf or a deal gone bad or whatever. This is something that I don't think that Eric Holder has the moral decency to acknowledge the truth. Obama certainly has shown he doesn't have the moral decency to acknowledge the truth of what the problem is. And I think that makes him very dangerous. But perhaps these guys are more dangerous in some respect than we believe, because who's really behind them? And to me, these two guys are puppets, and their strings are being pulled. So who's pulling the strings?
Wall Street is just hijacked the nation, stolen trillions, is taking over everything, and they don't want armed people they're about to rob.
Oh, no, not at all. I think that it's not just Wall Street that's planning to rob somebody or at the direction of the government. I think that the tax situation in America has gotten out of hand and many other issues. When the government can tell you how many gallons of water you can have in your toilet when it flushes, then I think they've really invaded your privacy. That may sound silly, but you look at every single area of our life, and there's government involvement in trying to take more and more of your freedom. So it isn't just Wall Street that's robbing us. It is the government is robbing us at every level.
No, you're right. I mean, Wall Street's becoming the government, and you're right. What type of light bulb? What type of toilet? What type of car? Training the children, going in and saying, your parents are dumb, global warming's real, we got to have a tax for it. I mean, this is what we saw in Nazi Germany, Soviet Russia. It's classic that Americans can't believe it's really happening.
You know, one thing that everyone knows, but they're not thinking about it as clearly, is that it was bad financial times that brought the Nazis to power. And we're already seeing signs of extreme fascism in America.
So what's the battle plan, Aaron Zellman? Before we get into the battle plan solutions in the next segment, you're always, focusing on the way they're attacking extrajudiciously or extrajudicially outside the courts, outside law, harassing gun dealers, gun manufacturers. What are the boys in black doing right now?
Well, they don't exactly call and tell me.
but I know you track them.
But they are planning. I think the first thing I would tell the American people is to be prepared for some type of a situation where military pattern weapons are used to create a massacre. Now that Obama needs that. Eric Holder needs that to promote some gun control scheme. So I would suggest that people start to be on the lookout for it and to tell others to be on the lookout for it.
And I would tell
that
police.
Might be the best way to stop it is when everyone's going to be suspicious of it and not trust it.
Exactly. Elaborate. I was about to say, by us watching, we may be able to stop them. Police.
Well,
watch feds when they're in your area. Sorry, go ahead.
No, you're right, Alex. In other words, you know, we have to put on the magnifying glass, so to speak. We have to start looking at every single thing the feds are doing. We have to reach out to other people we know and tell them to be on the lookout, become extremely suspicious of every single thing the federal government is doing. And not just the federal government, your own state government, your city government, because they are often pressured by the feds to do things. So I think that's step number one for a game plan, is that we got to get people to wake up, quite frankly, and to pay more attention to what's really going on around their lives, and to become extremely suspicious when the government seems to want to take advantage of a situation. That's what they're doing now with the financial problems we're having. They're trying to take advantage of it.
Emanuel even said that. He said, we're not going to waste a good crisis.
Well, at least he's honest about that, right? You have to give the devil his due, right?
Absolutely. Aaron Zellman, can you stay with us till about 5 after in the next hour?
Sure, sure.
Great. I want to be able to get enough of these points fleshed out. Join Jews for the Preservation of Firearms Ownership. Anybody can join. JPFO.org. A great Second Amendment group out there, and we appreciate everything they're doing. We're in the fight of our lives. This is it. Toe-to-toe with the New World Order.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
This is not a game. This is not a drill. This is the real thing. They are coming after the Second Amendment. Aaron Zellman, highly respected, one of the largest Second Amendment advocacy groups in the country, filmmaker, researcher, you know, to come on this show and to say, I believe they are ready to stage terror attacks, stage mass shootings. And there's hundreds of points that back this up. And I know those are the points and others he's going off of. And we know that some of the other mass shootings have been staged events. The evidence is just overwhelming. It's very easy for him to do this. And we know other governments have done this. It's been done in Australia. It's been done in Russia. They've even been caught in Russia. And they just go in, gun down a patsy. Then their guys in black uniforms shoot a bunch of people with masks. They get in police uniforms, drive out the back. They always order the feds always order the locals to stand down. That's always for hours while they clean it up. Some of the people escape and say, I saw more than one person. I saw police shooting people. That happened in Columbine, and that, I mean, that's been in the Denver Post. But you know, then the police covered it up. This is sick. But I want to flesh that out some more. How you see them doing it, or what police, we know most police and even feds aren't involved in this, special units do it, about how we can stop them from doing, because clearly you can see they're stacked, they're ready to launch, they're going to need this event. Even Rush Limbaugh said he believes they're staging events in the past. He said, you ever notice how when they got a gun bill introduced, something happens? Aaron Zellman.
I'm sorry, Alex, you want to say it to me one more time, the last sentence?
Aaron Zellman, just break it down for us. Break down false flag attacks.
Well, I'm not an expert on it, but I think that people can look at past experience and see how they've done it, the mechanics of it. You take a look at the Stockton massacre with Patrick Purdy, very suspicious about how it happened. There have been other events like that. And you'll always notice that the shooter always commits suicide. So it's very clean for the government. They just wrap it up. You look at the way they handled Waco. I mean, they do it the way they want to do it. They kill people off, and then they have the official story. And so I think the people need to be always alert about the official story, because that says a whole lot, that they hope that the people don't read between the lines.
Yeah.
I think that's something that everyone can get their hands on, because the official story will be trumpeted by, you know, Charlie Gibson and Katie Couric and all the rest of those morons. And they will keep pushing the official story. And that's when you have to get very, very nervous, because that official story is what they want you to believe. It isn't exactly the truth.
Well, the BATF,
or it may not be the truth.
The BATF on record, and they covered this up for years, out in Arizona, did test of blowing up in the months before 95 Alvin P. Murrah building bombing, of blowing up Ryder trucks filled with ammonium nitrate, and then they were there minutes after telling doctors, patch me up, and the doctor said, you're not hurt. So, I mean, they clearly are some dirty guys.
Well, there's no surprise there. I mean, the ATF, as you know, frames innocent gun owners and sends them off to prison, claiming that they're semi-automatics or machine guns. And I think you're going to see more of that, where a malfunctioning semi-automatic automatic is considered to be a machine gun. In fact, I think your listeners need to understand it, that there was a point made in a recent court case with a David Olufsen, where the court agreed that, according with the ATF, that if a firearm of any kind, including your two-barrel, your double-barreled shotgun, if a firearm of any kind fires more than two rounds at one time with one pull of the trigger, they considered an illegal machine gun.
Oh, my gosh. I remember seeing that ruling. And expanding on that, the bigger issue is at these gun ranges, if your gun accidentally double fires, they run and tattle and call the police on you. So it goes to the Stasi, secret police, Gestapo, tattletale culture out there by the people that claim they're pro-Second Amendment.
Well, quite bluntly, there's plenty of cowards in the pro-Second Amendment movement.
All right, well, we just interviewed Aaron Zellman, JPFO.org, about the situation we're facing with the Second Amendment. Jason Burmis is waiting in the wings right over here, and he'll be on screen with us. It's like Star Trek in here. Jason Burmis on screen. Warp 1, engage. To Planet Burmy. Ha 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 ha. So, again, Jason Burmis will be riding shotgun with us here for the rest of the hour. I have a bunch of news I want to get into. Every day I see articles like this one. You think I'm trying to demonize family services? You think I'm trying to demonize the states and the feds kidnapping kids over a million a year? Oh. Well, right here, we'll put it on screen for you. A state may compensate juveniles sentenced by judges. And this goes on right here in Austin, by the way. This is confirmed. No judge, no jury. It's not a real judge. It's not a real court. No due process. They're so lazy when they kidnap small children, they don't even get the names right on the paperwork. They'll be kidnapping a newborn baby and say, the three-year-old had cigarettes put out on his arm, and it's a baby. They'll have the name wrong on it. I mean, I've been at cases covering it, and you can't believe it. And the judges are like demon creatures. I mean, if they ever needed to have a psychopath for a movie, Hollywood should go do central casting out of these family court judges. I mean, they're always the same, just always just like, I mean, they'll even make faces like that, and they call the families in, they're shaking, the child's done nothing wrong, and they'll go, you sign this document and this decree agreement right now, or you'll never see your other children again. And then the father will go, no, that's it, arrest him. And the guy will start crying, please, I didn't do anything wrong. She goes, trust me, sign it. And the guy, the person will sign, they'll go, ah, and literally make a demon face. I've seen it. You actually, your heart kind of hits. And you go, oh, I've just seen a demon. And so I see this stuff every day, just pure evil, sickening, degenerate criminals running everything. The exception is good courts and good systems. It's totally bankrupt, run for criminals, by and for criminals. We'll get into that with him. And that dovetails with the report I was getting into earlier about Al Gore going around saying, your parents are dumb, your parents are stupid, you know better than them, you know global warming's real. So inducting these children into the climate change, oh, my gosh, there's seasons. That's illegal. I better pay a tax to scare everybody. Now, there are yearly seasons. There are also decade seasons and 100-year seasons. They are called cycles. So we will be getting into that as well with Jason Burmis. And you know what? I'm not going to build up any build up too much anticipation. At the end of the show today, I'm going to make a special announcement about the future of this radio show and everything we're doing here with this operation and more. So that is coming up later in this hour. I'm looking for my Al Gore news article. I mean, we have the audio clips, but I want to go over the Al Gore article itself after we come back from break. But the state, bottom line, is taking over your children. The state is saying they own your children. The state is saying in court rulings that parents don't control their children, that states have no jurisdiction over their children, that parents don't have any custody of their children, that the state, mothers and fathers exist to make babies for the state. So the pedophiles that run the state and the criminals that run the state can have their way with them. And all over the nation, thousands and thousands of cases of entire jurisdictions, entire states, entire courts run by people who are child kidnappers. It's legalized child kidnapping. Whereas they used to grab people out of the jungles of Africa and put them on slave ships, here they just grab your children. So we'll go over that with Jason Burmes as well after we get back after this quick break. Right here on the one, the only GCN Radio Network, simulcasting at PrisonPlanet.tv. By the way, that special on 5+ months free of PrisonPlanet.tv right now ends next Monday. So,
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, we're going to Jason Burmes for the balance of the hour for a ton of news and his take on it. There he is right there waiting in the wings, live at PrisonPlanet.tv. Ridiculous creature. I always tease Burmes a lot. I don't know why. He's always smiling. That's why. It makes you feel good. All righty then. Big announcement at the end of the show, by the way. Before we go to Burmes, got to thank the sponsors. Sponsors I believe in and sponsors that make this show possible. Like MySolarBackup.com. A lot of things can cut off your electrical power. Hurricanes, snow, ice, and storms. Listeners should move towards getting off the grid, and here's a good way to do just that. Solar power generator is now available from our longtime sponsor. Solutions from Science is designed to provide 1,800 watts of power on demand in the event of any disaster or outage. You get the emergency power backup kit, which consists of the Power Source 1800 power plant and a high-efficiency solar panel designed to provide endless electricity. That's right, it generates free electricity. Remember, too, that gas generators need gas, but in a blackout, gas pumps can't pump gas because they run on electricity. The solar power generator is like having a silent power plant hidden in your home. It's the perfect emergency backup for troubled times. The government doesn't own the sun, folks, yet, so make your move today. Their website's mysolarbackup.com. That's mysolarbackup.com or 877-327-0365. 877-327-0365. If their lines are busy, keep trying. They'd love to talk to you. 877-327-0365. And also another one of the sponsors that goes perfectly with are the great folks at Akola Blue, because you can plug your Akola Blue and other appliances into the battery system off of this and run it. It is a atmospheric water generator for your home. You can go on your screened-in porch, whatever. Pays for itself in 1 year if you buy your water from the store. Pure, clean water without the fluoride. Ultimate water from the humidity in the air. Know exactly what you're drinking. The machine produces 28 liters or 7.5 gallons a day. They have bigger units if you want that. Great tasting pure H2O, exactly the way nature makes it. No chemicals, pollutants, or toxins. Neutral pH. And then it goes through 7 different filtration systems, including reverse osmosis, a taste and odor removal filter, and a stored and illuminated tank with an antibacterial fungal UV light. 800-691-6043. 800-691-6043. 6043 or acolablue.com. If you get the website, it's linked up on infowars.com. Okay, let's bring up Jason Burmes and ask him what he thinks most important is going on right now and his take on just the world today, the banker takeover, and the rest of it. Then I'm going to get into how the state, openly, as we always warned you they were setting up for, is trying to take over the family, take over society, and engaging in every crime imaginable and some I hadn't imagined. Jason Burmes, good to have you here with us.
Well, thanks for having me, Alex. It's a blast to be able to do this over the video cam.
Well, we're going to get more and more of our guests and more folks on air with us via video cam. I think you've got your mic turned up too loud. I know they did a video check with you, but I don't know about an audio check. Sounds like you got a sounds like you have an air conditioner on in the background. Sounds like a giant spacecraft is landing, or maybe that's just my headphones.
I'm not sure. Hopefully, I just set it up with them, so they said my levels were good.
Oh, there it went. It got better. It doesn't matter. I believe it's some kind of Hedrodyne in the audio building up to a feedback, but whatever. May have a new word, Hedrodyne. I think Hedrodyne is a word. Google it. Let's see definition Hedrodyne. Look it up for me. Jason, what do you think is most important? What's going on right now?
Well, really, I think it's the combo pack between the glorification of Obama and the Obama administration passing every executive order possible in a very short amount of time. I mean, they're going to get this stimulus package put through. They're going to carry on renditions. It doesn't look like they're going to get rid of any of these powers. And like you highlighted earlier today, Guantanamo Bay won't be gone for another year at least, and they're still going to just have these people in secret prisons. On top of that, I think we're going to see a total redistribution of forces in the Middle East from Iraq to Afghanistan. But I think in the long run, not even the long run, probably in the next 18 months, you're going to see an increase in troops overseas, not a decrease. And of course, like you're talking about, the creation of this domestic-type police force at home. I think that's a huge problem. Meanwhile, every night I turn the television on, Montel Williams is trying to sell me four coins with Obama's face on them, with him with Washington and him with Kennedy. So the brainwashing is definitely in. I think that's the biggest danger.
Well, I agree with you. I do see a little bit of the Obama mania wearing off. I mean, people really thought he was going to fix everything overnight. Instead, he's trying to make things worse.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, as we progress, we're still going to have more and more people wake up. And now the right seems to be telling a little bit more of the truth, like you highlighted earlier. You know, Glenn Beck actually did this chart, you know, and he's attacking Al Gore for global warming, just like you would, you said. And he shows this chart of the inflation and how much money's being printed, and literally he gets on a ladder at the very end and shows the top of it. So I think a lot of people financially on the right are going to start waking up, and it's going to be good for the gold and silver market. You know, you see gold shooting up. I think silver's going to shoot up too. I think people are going to start getting into hard currencies. But as long as they keep this left-right paradigm alive, as long as the Keith Olbermans of the world are worshiping Obama, and like you talked about earlier, you said this CEO cap is absolute nonsense. You know, they're not going to be making $500,000 at the international and national banks. So the public, you know, already I'm hearing people today saying, isn't it great? He's capping the salaries. He's capping the salaries. And I'm thinking to myself, these CEOs that were making, you know, $25 million a year on the books and probably another $50 million off the books aren't going to give up their salaries.
Well, what's happening is it's a bait and switch. They admit that they are putting in loopholes for the big four banks in the U.S. and all of their executives, and it doesn't count for the big companies that took the bailout previously. Well, that's what people say. There's two bailouts. There's not. The other bailout is unlimited money, total secrecy. No one can investigate the private central banks. The new bailout is those banks being given trillions more to go out and forcibly buy up the depressed economy. So it's just an incredible bait and switch.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, I do see more and more people waking up to the fact that we've been had. You know, I was watching some C-SPAN last night, and they were having the Bernie Madoff hearings, and at least the members were attacking the SEC for not going after what seemed like any large Ponzi scheme, because we're finding out that there's a lot more Ponzi schemes other than Bernie Madoff's, obviously.
The whole Federal Reserve system is a Ponzi scheme.
Exactly. And now they're starting to criticize the Fed. My only fear is that through criticizing the Fed, we're just going to have a new international form of currency.
Exactly. No. They're killing the Fed in name to create the new Federal Reserve known as the Bank of the U.S. It'll be the fourth bank of the United States, but it's going to be private, called the Bank of the U.S., just like the private Federal Reserve was called the Federal Reserve. See, they can't, now that everybody knows it's private. 10 years ago, I got laughed at. 15 years ago, got laughed at. You know, David Ray Griffin and, you know, others get laughed at. People like the fellow that wrote The Creature from Jekyll Island, you know, got left at. Dr. Stan Monteith got left at. Now, okay, everybody knows it's private, it's offshore, it's a scam. Now they're just setting up a new one, calling it the Bank of the U.S. or the Bad Bank, and it'll be fully run by offshore banks. I mean, it's incredible. So see, now that Republicans are out of power, the right-wing phony media can start talking about all of this and keep some credibility because they're out of power. But see, then the Democrats now, they won't talk about their leadership being involved in corruption because the petty, low-level Democrats feel like it's an extension of their personal power through the Democratic Party. Same thing with the Republicans. I mean, folks, this is the final New World Order move. You've got to wake up and stop being so foolish and having this stupid party loyalty.
4 years, they could bring in the North American Union. I mean, this could be the time where Obama gets everybody under a new type of currency and a new structure for North America. I could see that happening under this guy, especially if the economy tanks even further in the next 6 months, which everybody seems to be predicting. So let's say that we double the job losses in the next 2 months, which could happen. I could see them saying, well, we really do need to not only restructure the banking industry, but we're going to have to do so through infrastructure. And this is where they bring in their superhighways that are shown in the SPP documents.
Absolutely. I was right about heterodyne being where a frequency starts feeding back and building up or two frequencies going together. Having alternative currents of two different frequencies that are combined to produce two new frequencies, the sum of the difference of the original frequencies, either of which may be used in radio or television receivers by proper tuning of the filtering. So there you have it. I mean, I don't know if that's actually a heterodyne we were hearing, but heterodyne. Okay, Burmese, you know I'm obsessed with words. Now, when we come back from break, I want to get your take on Al Gore caught on tape, but they do this in all the public schools. I mean, Time Magazine for Kids, over and over again. Every time I see an issue of it, it says, your parents don't know what's going on with the environment. You're smart and cool. Get them in line. And the New York Times comes out and says it, or your parents need to be tattled on. Are they smoking pot? What's in their medicine cabinet? The cop comes and pats them on the head, and the kid reports on them. I mean, this is classical East German Stasi or Soviet Russia, but they're just doing it, Burmese.
Yeah, you know, I was watching the Weather Channel last night, and they're actually admitting, they're like, well, it's the coldest winter on record. And in fact, my Time Warner was out earlier today because of the cold. I mean, there's actually outages going on, not only a cable, but internet up here because it's so cold. And they poo-pooed it. They're like, yeah, it seems like it's getting colder. But then they bring in the global warming expert, and they show this big chart of the globe, and they show this big heating on the top, and that's what's causing the cooling in places like New York and Illinois. And
Year the ice caps shrunk at record levels. They actually expanded at record levels. I mean, we have the satellite photos. They're liars.
Yeah,
they
absolutely.
Claim polar
100%
bears can't
liars.
Swim. They claim polar bears can't swim. It's the best swimming land animal.
Yes, and you know, I saw that commercial on last night that there aren't going to be polar bears in the next 10 years unless we do something. And there's this huge, huge, huge push for green. I mean, you hear green everywhere now.
Well, let's talk about what green really means. It means getting the green out of your wallet for good. Mm-hmm. It means turning your little kids into little Stasis, and they'll get them used to tattling and bossing you on the environment, and parents will be like, oh, Junior cares. No, Junior's being taught how to be a scumbag. By the way, Junior, you go tattling on your parents, they're going to take you and throw you in a group home and rape you. Okay, your parents, your family come first, not the degenerate scumbag government. While you're cooking dinner, you get home at 6 o'clock after traffic, your children are there, they're watching television, while they're playing video games. The state's been brainwashing them all day, turning them against you, and now Nickelodeon, everything is propaganda. Here's one we got, brainwashing commercial. This is a high school student during lunch just sent us this listening to the show. I was watching Nickelodeon with my 3-year-old sister and saw a commercial for an online game hosted on Nickelodeon. It's called Nickelodeon Global Warming Challenge. You pick a Nick character, SpongeBob, and you go on an adventure destroying dangerous CO2 monsters that plants breathe, by the way. The water it's swimming in is made up out of CO2 to defeat global warming and save the last remaining green cities. The brainwashing starts early on, eh? I don't know how to find footage of the actual commercial, but I'm sure if anyone can find it, it's Alex Jones. Oh, come on, we can find it. You can find it, too. I can't give you a link to the description of the game. I could probably find the game itself. And here's the game description. We did find that. I'm sure you can find the actual game on nick.com/games. I don't have time to find it. I'm at school and computers are slow, not to mention my class starts in 7 minutes. Hope this is useful. Remember, freedom is slavery. Slavery is freedom. Well, the 1984 quote, and that's from Kevin S., a high school student, fighting the New World Order inside a government indoctrination camp. And, Jason, I have stacks of such things. We're trying to pull up. We have the description of the game, but I want to pull the game up on screen and show people the evil CO2 monsters. I mean, folks, do you have children and raise them and change their diapers and feed them and everything and love them to hand them over to the degenerate government? Jason Burmese.
Yeah, I think this is a psyop that's been going on since my generation. I mean, I remember being sat down and watching a movie with all these celebrities that I knew, Ted Danson. I remember the guy from Doogie Howser was on it, Whoopi Goldberg. And in one of the segments, he was supposedly going outside 10 years later, and he was in a radioactive suit, and it was going to kill the ozone layer. And I believed it. I mean, I know a lot of intelligent people that fall for this because inherently, I mean, we don't want to pollute the planet, Alex. We're
it's
not
indoctrination,
saying, oh, let's
though.
Dump things in the river.
It's the genetic engineering. They're keeping all the bad stuff going. All this is a push for global taxation. Remember how they would deny on the show it's for taxation, and now they admit it's for taxation?
Yeah, now you have congressmen, you know, people like Chris Dodd introducing this into legislation under a carbon tax. And, you know, I remember watching your film, America Destroyed by Design, some years back, and you exposed the United Nations was actually land-grabbing under this provision of environmentalism. Okay, this isn't doing anything for us. This is giving the globalists not only large chunks of land, but then they're regulating our lives through carbon taxes, through fictional man-made global warming. Look, no one's saying that the climate doesn't change. The climate has changed throughout history. I mean, we used to be Pangea.
No, that's a lie. It's Al-Qaeda.
And that...
About Captain Planet?
Exactly.
These shows...
Well, you know, what really got me upset was earlier this year when I was down in Texas and you guys did that story on the ABC Planet Slayer website where there was just bloody pig carcasses around and the pig's life was worth more than yours because your carbon footprint was up in 18
months.
Yeah,
this is a video game in Australian schools, ABC News Australia, and it was on there and it said, when do you have to kill yourself? And it was teaching them on the site that at 15 years old, it's time to kill yourself because if you don't kill yourself, it's going to kill the earth. They're teaching them death education. That's why suicide's way up all over the West because they teach the little kids, don't commit suicide this way. And when you get depressed, don't go in the bathroom and hang yourself on the door stall and then it explodes. And then now they just got video games going, kill yourself.
Yeah, and it's not even 15 years old, literally 18 months.
Burmese, like, you're against the children killing around, themselves? You know? What's wrong with you? They got to save the earth, Burmese.
It's unbelievable to me. And, you know, this does relate to the indoctrination. Even when I was a kid, the D.A.R.E. program, you know, if I remember the commercials. You know, I learned it by watching you. And, of course, the kid learned how to smoke pot from his father, and his father's the bad guy, and he should be ratting out his dad. I mean, it is just unbelievable to me the amount of propaganda that has been pushed upon me throughout my entire life and continues to be pushed upon the newer generation that, unfortunately, Alex, I see them more brainwashed than ever. I mean, you watch the commercials in the Super Bowl, and another commercial really caught me about how dumbed down we are. There's this guy sitting in his garage, and there's all these monkeys around him working on his car, and literally the monkeys are smarter than him and his friend that are having this conversation that five-year-olds could have. You know, I mean, they're talking real slow, their eyes are open, they don't know what's going on, they're very docile, and this is the new acceptance in our society. That's
They're teaching people, listen, half of the corn syrup products, which is most products, have high levels of mercury, Associated Press, mainstream news, there's no talk of taking the mercury out, and they tell you mercury's good for you. They think you're so stupid, public, they go on the news and say, don't worry about melamine and 90% of the milk, don't worry about all these corn syrup products, half of them having high levels of mercury, because it's good for you. Melamine and mercury are good. Well, I'm going to tell you, you can call me a conspiracy theorist all day long. Mercury and melamine are bad for you, okay? I promise you. I know you heard it's a conspiracy theory, but it's true. The globalists want to kill you. It's called eugenics. They think there's too many of us. We'll cover that when we get back. Stay with us. PrisonPlanet.tv.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Yo, if you want to email Joey V, just Joey V at InfoWars.com. one of our new producers. We'll be announcing another producer tomorrow. Then of any propaganda commercials, TV shows, tips, we'll play clips here and analyze them. Had a high schooler just during their lunch hour listening to the show send us this tip about SpongeBob video games. Actually, it's all the video games now, the free video games on Nickelodeon's website, brainwashing the children. Before I go to that and get Jason Burmes' take, joining us from upstate New York, we're coming to you from Austin, Texas, tied into the Genesis Network in Minneapolis, Minnesota. I want to break this down. Why have they been brainwashing people that the Earth is dying, we're in this great crisis, and carbon dioxide is the problem for decades? Well, the Club of Rome told us. They said it's a complete fraud, but they're designing it to teach us that humans are bad so the state, this is Richard Inhofe's quote, can wage war against the population. Why did Rockefeller fund Hitler? On record. You know, major university press books on it. Why did they fund eugenics, sterilization? There's too many of us, they're saying. That's why they're pushing for one-child policies in the U.S. and England and Europe, despite the fact the West is dying and has a negative population growth. They're doing all of this, even if you're for eugenics and for reducing the population, and I see the comments on my website, you have to understand that if they just industrialized things with clean industry and didn't suppress technologies, we could fix things. There's real environmental crises, genetic engineering, toxic waste dumping, things of that nature, nuclear weapons, DU being used all over the planet. But carbon dioxide is what most of the water in the ocean's made up out of. It's what the clouds are made up out of. It's water vapor, basically. It's what humans exhale. It's what plants breathe. But I see commercials on TV going, you know, waste management companies planting trees that clean the air of deadly carbon dioxide that's killing our Earth. Four things make life on this planet. Without these, it doesn't happen. Without one of these, it doesn't happen. Oxygen, carbon dioxide, water, and sunlight. Well, they're taxing the carbon cycle by doing that. And the video game actually says battle CO2 monsters. But you're telling me that computer, the way it's hooked up, we can't play audio? While we have Burmes on, we got to hook another computer up so we can do that in here. I want people to be able to hear the audio from this. So this is all about eugenics. And they come into the youth and they say, you're so important. You're so special. You're saving the Earth. You're a hero. Your parents are backwards and don't know. And denying climate change is like denying the Holocaust or denying that we needed civil rights. They actually say this, and Al Gore went part of the way in a speech we're going to play in a minute, just a few days ago. And so you've got to accept that we're going to battle for the CO2, and then your children turn into tattletales. Now, in fact, Google this after we show the SpongeBob's. I know you've got it pulled up on screen right now. Or minimize that and pull this up. Climate cops. Just Google climate cops. They pay the kids. They wear uniforms in England. They're starting in here in the U.S. And it says, boss your parents. Write your parents tickets. We'll give you fictitious tickets. And see, it sounds reasonable. They start them out writing tickets. Oh, it's for the Earth. And then it's everything else. It's spying on you for what you're saying, what you're doing. I mean, this is classic tyranny. Pint-sized eco-police making parents proud and sometimes crazy. New York Times. New York Times. They're showing the video game on screen right now that, oh, it's making the Earth flood. Floods aren't natural. Wind blowing isn't natural. We're dying. Kill the climate monsters. Here come the saviors. But that's coming up in a moment. Sometimes Jennifer Ross feels she cannot make a move at home without inviting the scorn of her daughters, 10-year-old Grace and 7-year-old Eliza. The Acura MDX she drives, a flagrant polluter. The bath at night to help relax her, a wasteful indulgence. Oh, yeah. The reusable shopping bag she forgot. Again, tisk tisk. I am very, very environmentally conscious children, more so than me. And I'm embarrassed to say, says Miss Ross, a social worker from Dobbs Ferry, New York, they're on my case about getting a hybrid car. They want me to replace all the light bulbs in the house with the toxic waste mercury bulbs, by the way, that give you headaches, with energy-saving bulbs. Miss Ross' children are part of what experts say is a growing army of eco-kids stepping in environmentalism at school, in houses of worship, through scouting, and even via popular culture who try to hold their parents accountable at home. The state always turns the children loose on their parents. This is the state taking over the children, and we have all these different federal and state court rulings where they're claiming, like the one in California a few months ago, that the state owns your children, that you have no parental rights over them. And they're trying to pass this United Nations Rights of the Child, where if you tell them your religious belief, they take your children from you. It says it in there. I was reading it this morning. Where if you don't let them be brainwashed by the state, then they take them from you. I mean, this, in Obama's saying he's going to try to ratify it. This is all right here. And so I want to play this Al Gore and the SpongeBob thing in a moment. Put up the main screen with all the games. Eco warriors fighting carbon dioxide monsters. And SpongeBob and all the other characters the kids love and identify with, they are in there battling the evil monsters. Put that up on screen for folks. I want them to see it. Jason Burmish, your take on all this.
Yeah, it's all over the culture. And when they're not promoting, you know, global warming to kids, they're promoting the police state. I mean, I look at video games. I've got one right here by Microsoft. It's called Crackdown, Alex. And it's all about the new genetically engineered soldier that's coming into our states to fight crime. You know,
meanwhile, the Pentagon says they're really moving ahead with that. Go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is the new domestic police force, and it's okay to be genetically enhanced, and you're an agent of justice, and there's no restraints whatsoever. You can go up and blow somebody's head off in a car, and it doesn't matter. No trial, no arrest, no one has any rights anymore.
And the kids play this and fantasize with it and become that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, you look at Call of Duty for the longest time was a game about World War II, and it took place, you know, either on the beaches of Normandy or on the Pacific Rim. But Call of Duty 4 comes around, and where are they? They're in Iraq, Alex. You know, so we're not leaving Iraq anytime soon. There's going to be battles in the Middle East. They're bringing in, you know, these new domestic type games to train us for that next.
Well, I remember games 10 years ago where you hunt down and kill militia members, and you even torture them.
Yeah, yeah, so, and torture is a big part of games, too. I mean, that's a huge part of games now. These interrogations that you can do to your victims, I mean, you can tie them up, you can cut them slowly, you can shoot them in the leg. I mean, it's really gotten to a sadistic level.
Video games were started as military simulators because they found that a large percentage of troops wouldn't kill somebody up close, but if they did paper targets and desensitized to instinctive shooting, they would. Now they make it video games, and they're using them for training. Doom was originally a military training game.
Yeah, it's unbelievable to me. Those engines were used by the military to train troops, and then they dispersed them among the population. I mean, if you guys think that, you know, the Xbox 360 or the PlayStation 3 is at the height of the technology at this point, that's laughable. I wonder what they're using in military simulators, especially the ones that are classified right now, Alex. And, you know, that's going to be amongst the kids in the next 5 to 10 years. In fact, while you were away, I did a story on the head of Sega actually coming out and saying he was interested in using microchips.
You'll have to have a chip to play the game. You'll have to have a chip to have a job. And the transhumanists, who openly in 1952 said we're changing our name from eugenicist worldwide to the Transhumanist Society, Julian Huxley, the head of the UN UNESCO board, changed the name to transhumanist. And they say you won't have a job. You won't be able to raise your children. You're going to have to be augmented. And then everybody's going to want it like it's the new iPhone, and we get the new download of it. Literal cyberpunk wirehead, but controlled by the state. And then even if you think the Matrix is fighting against all this, still the good guys still jack in to go fight the evil.
That's right, because eventually there won't be a choice. And they're going to do this initially with video game systems, because when your kids are whining and saying, oh, Joey's got this, but I can't play it, eventually they're going to get a job after school or come across a game, and they'll chip themselves. You know, they'll go beyond their parents, literally as preteens and teenagers, Alex. And then when their kids are born, it won't be a big thing, because they'll probably have 3 or 4 different types of RFID chips under their skin for various
things. And that's what the New World Order says 100 years ago the new man was. They're going to exterminate the majority of the population, but first they're going to get us to be cybernetically controlled, cybernetically tracked, surveilled. Those of us that don't accept will be put on reservations like Amish, and then controlled bioweapons releases, and then they're going to kill most of the other new transhuman people, and the elite believe they're going to ascend to the level of gods. Now, am I saying that's real and really going to happen? I don't know, but they're trying to do it. And I go back to Bill Joy, Why the Future Doesn't Need Us, co-owner of Sun Microsystems. He goes to a meeting in 99, and they're all these elitist meetings saying we're going to kill everybody. Folks, this is happening. The Air Force is converting over to drones, to robots, to combat mechs. They got Terminator 4 coming out. What they're not telling you is the elite actually believe they're going to merge with the machines and then kill us. This is a message to everyone.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And I think that drone point is an excellent one because, you know, let's say there is civil unrest in this country. You know, they're not going to send in a squadron of fighters to the resistance, you know, the 20 or 50 or 100 or 1,000 people that gather to try to resist. No, they're going to send in drones that are going to fire upon you, and you won't have a chance against them. Technology right now, Alex, is just what's public is absolutely astounding. And we have to be very wary of who we put in control of that technology.
Because here's the bigger issue
right now.
Here's the bigger issue. The military says we won't fire on American citizens, 75% on average. So they take those, put them overseas, give them deadly inoculations, kick them out of the military, use PTSD claims to take away their Second Amendment. That's already happening. But they take that 20-something percent and build up a integrated unit inside the United States to carry this out against us. But in the future, with drone aircraft, drone tanks, drone soldiers, which are now the Air Force by 2012 will be majority drone, that they've said that, the globalists can pre-program it and do it all without soldiers even helping, and they'll go back to robot factories to be repaired and upgraded. So that's why the future doesn't need us. That's why the elite want to kill us. That's what this whole New World Order is about. That's why they're having the bank over takeover right now and telling you austerity. You'll have no money. You're going to be poor. So they can force you to take the jobs they want to force you, like 5 years ago, the Attorney General of Mexico, making all of his employees take implantable microchips to have a job. This is real. This is happening. This is not a movie. This is the real world. I want to go to Al Gore. This was taped. Glenn Beck played it in a big school auditorium last week, saying that your parents are okay, but, you know, like my parents with the civil rights thing, they didn't understand it. Well, parents just don't understand things as well as you, the young people, do. You're smart. And the state is co-opting them, where the 12-year-olds, these were 11 and 12-year-olds, go back and say, Mommy and Daddy, you know, you are going to do what the state says. We are going to lower our carbon footprint. We're going to live as feudal as slaves. Here's the first clip. Al Gore.
But I'm thinking back now a long way to when I was your age. And the civil rights revolution was unfolding. And we kids asked our parents and their generation, explain to me again why it's okay for the law to officially discriminate against people because of their skin color. And parents try to tell their kids the right thing, you know. Usually, I do. And when our parents' generation couldn't answer that question, that's when the law started to change.
Now, he comes in with the even more important clip about parents, you know, really aren't as smart or aren't as aware as their children. And it's your job to go out and, you know, carry the torch out there to get this job done. Here it is.
There are some things about our world that you know that older people don't know.
Stop right there. You're an 11 and 12-year-old kid. There are some things in the world that your parents don't know that you know. You know. No, they've been brainwashed because the parents were stupid and sent them to a government training camp. Here we go. Play that again.
There are some things about our world that you know that older people don't know.
Why would that be?
Well, in a period of rapid change, the old assumptions sometimes just don't work anymore because they're out of date. New knowledge, new understandings are much more widely available.
Okay, that's enough. It goes on and on. It's up on PrisonPlanet.com and InfoWars.com. The point here is what the children know is playing SpongeBob killing carbon dioxide monsters. What the kids don't know is they're exhaling that. The whole planet is based on that. And by the globalists being able to list that as a toxic waste, they're going to be able to regulate and control everything. Just like there's 10,000 more polar bears today than there was 20 years ago, and polar bears are all over the place. If they can say polar bears are endangered or threatened, they can then take property, steal, control a large part of the northern hemisphere. See, it's all about getting an excuse to sell the public to acquiesce liberties and freedoms. Jason Burmis.
Absolutely. And what I find extremely, extremely disgusting is that he compared it with the civil rights movement. Alex, we are the civil rights movement at this point. We're the ones that are fighting for all of humanity, for every man,
but
woman,
that's what
and child.
They do. They take a legitimate revolution and they integrate a fraudulent revolution of the elite against the people with it. And that's what they say in Europe. You'll be arrested in some areas now. It's called climate denial.
And they're pushing for that. They're trying to make it like a Holocaust denial in other countries where you can literally be arrested for questioning the Holocaust. If you question global warming, well, you need to be taken to a camp or you need to be re-educated. This is complete and utter nonsense. This is against the civil rights movement. What you're trying to do is appear that the Earth has more rights than actual human beings, and through that appearance, they will then land grab, they will then tax you, and they'll really put you to slavery. They'll put you in a camp. They'll put you into a compact
city. And their own documents say this. This is not our opinion. That's how everything we say comes true, because we're reading what they're saying. But they're so arrogant, they know we're playing SpongeBob games instead of reading their own documents. Jason, we're going to go to break and come back with a big announcement. I want you to stay with me for that. In the final segment that is coming up here in a moment, so stay right there. Before we go to break, though, again, in this hour, I'm thanking our sponsors. One of them is eFoodsDirect.com, and one of the great packages they've got right now is a three-day food supply for one. This is a non-GMO, healthy, high-quality food, a three-day food supply for $21.95, ladies and gentlemen. That's about a third the cost of, you know, eating for 3 days for the average person. Test out their high-quality food by getting their three-day responder pack, or get a six-month supply, year supply. They have boogie packs that are for a month. The letter eFoodsDirect.com. eFoodsDirect.com. Big banners up on InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com when you're perusing it. Call them. Get a free brochure. Go watch the free videos about their great product line at eFoodsDirect.com or 1-800-409-5633. But you've got to get land, a small piece. You've got to start gardening. You've got to get into the Second Amendment. You've got to get self-sufficient. It starts with food and water. 800-409-5633. They have a lot of great other products as well, like water filters and stuff. eFoodsDirect.com. It is so important to get that done today. And I just hope that people will take action. So on the same subject of preparedness and getting ready, SurvivalSeedBank.com. One word, SurvivalSeedBank.com, or give them a call, 877-327-0365. In a real crisis, having non-hybrid seeds means having the ability to grow an endless supply of nutrient-dense food to feed your loved ones. There have been times in America, Pilgrims, for example, when seeds had the highest value of any barter item, even silver or gold. There's a war on against non-hybrid seeds waged by the global elite. They're buying up all the companies who want to control us by controlling the food supply. Governments are storing seeds. The UN is massing them in underground bunkers, seed vaults. Just Google that. SurvivalSeedBank.com. Give them a call. They got great packages. It's just so important to do that. 877-327-0365. 877-327-0365. SurvivalSeedBank.com. Link up on InfoWars.com. Final segment of this transmission on this Thursday edition, the 5th day of February, 2009, is straight ahead with a big announcement after this break. So please stay with us. The Info War rolls on. Humanity is built around families and having children. You know, they try to analyze it scientifically and say it's, you know, our instincts are bad, what we do is bad. It's how our whole society's based. It's who we are. It's what we are. We were just all talking about how great our children are during the break. So everybody out there, fight the New World Order, have more children. Humans aren't hurting the Earth. Some of the technologies are. We can develop past those. Don't let the globalists teach you to hate yourselves. Well, here's the big announcement. Let's get Jason Burmis up here on air. There's a couple other big announcements coming up. Jason Burmis, in a few weeks, is moving down here, and he's going to be on the radio 9 to midnight, streamed over the Genesis Communications Network on StarGuide Satellite. We're getting our own satellite, our own star guide with Genesis for 24 hours a day, myself, Jason Burmis, and a few other shows that we're going to stick up there on the air. And so it's going to be an entirely new feed for all the stations out there that want to carry other Genesis programming in association with the InfoWar. And so Jason's moving down here to do a three-hour nightly show right here in this seat where I sit. And so when he goes back to visit, he's keeping the place with his roommates up in New York. When he goes back up there once a month or so, he'll be doing it from there. Though you got to get a better microphone at that setup there. Whatever that tinker toy is you got, it didn't do good. So Jason Burmis, there's the announcement. Pretty exciting.
I am very excited. You know, Alex, ever since I came across this information and really came across your film, 9/11 and the Road to Tyranny, I mean, it began with this process of me looking up and verifying these things, and then this process of me overcoming my fears. Literally, you know, I was waking up in cold sweats, you know, New York City, a couple hours away from me, growing up around there, and for the World Trade Center to be an inside job and all that evidence pointed towards that, it was very uncomfortable for me. But I got past it, and I said, you know what, I need to do something about this. I got involved with Loose Change. It got bigger than, you know, really anybody could have imagined. I, you know, got to meet you, who was really, Alex, at the time, you were my hero. You were somebody.
Stop it.
It's true, man. When I watched you in America Destroyed by Design, in the middle of the Grand Canyon, in front of, you know, 50 or so tourists, trying to explain to them that this was no longer our land and that this was given over to the altar of global governance. And just seeing, you know, your guts. I said, you know what? I can do that. You know, I've been laughed at before. So what? You know, a lot of times in history, and really the majority of times in history, those that are laughed at by the majority end up being vindicated much sooner than the majority can see.
Yeah, well, Gandhi got laughed at. The abolitionists got laughed at. The founding fathers got laughed at. It always happens. And now people don't laugh if you go to the Grand Canyon and say that. People aren't laughing anymore because everything we talked about has come true. So now people are paying attention.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, I'm not here to preach to the choir either, Alex. I know that your audience is enormous and tremendous, but I think this is more than ever is a time to bring in the young people. Okay, we need to bring those people into this information so that they don't join an Obama Youth Corps.
So they don't join the military. So they don't join the New World Order. That's why we're up in our game. There's a bunch of other new stuff we're going to be announcing in the next month or so as well. We are gearing up. We are fighting. We are taking action. A lot of new expenses, getting the board ops, everything. It takes two to run the TV/radio show. You know, just with you here, you know, paying your way to get down here so you can live. All of these things. There's a lot of other expansions we are doing. So we need your financial support with the books and videos at InfoWars.com, with the PrisonPlanet.tv memberships. But more importantly, spreading the word about the radio and TV shows. Spreading the word. That's how we're growing exponentially. We can go to the next level, folks, but it's in your hands. It's in your court.
That's right. And, you know, we're doing what feels right, and that is expanding and going after not only the youth, but just an entirely new audience. Because, you know, you look at Ted Anderson, and he's running ads on Rush Limbaugh and Hannity. That's going to bring us an audience, folks. We need to keep talking to our neighbors, our friends, and family members and bring them to this information so that we can save the Republic, Alex.
Absolutely, ladies and gentlemen. We are putting on our afterburners right into the Depression, because if we don't expose the bankers who are behind it all, it's only going to get worse. Our only chance is to fight these bastards 110%. I want to thank all of you that have joined us in this battle against the New World Order. And I want to implore those of you that have been on the fence to join the fight now. There's only one chance to be part of history and only one chance to defeat evil for yourself and your family. Rebroadcast with a bunch of huge guests. Dr. Stan Monteith, a volcanologist, JPFO.org, all coming up at InfoWars.com. Take care.